Mayor, we are live streaming on Facebook. We're ready whenever you are.
Okay.
Hello. Yeah, he has called. We thought he was going to, he was going to call in the tow. The guy just called me. He said he thought he got to go ahead and fix it, but he didn't realize he didn't need a tow, so he couldn't call it in.
Mr. Brewster?
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Today is Monday, October the 12th, 2020, and welcome to the Fairburn City Council regular meeting. To all of those who are attending by Zoom and other social media means, welcome to the City of Fairburn's council meeting on tonight. Madam Clerk, would you call the roll, please?
Yes, ma'am. The Honorable Mayor Elizabeth Carr Hurst.
Present.
The Honorable Mayor Pro Tem Ulysses J. Smallwood.
Present.
The Honorable Linda J. Davis.
Present.
The Honorable Alex Heath. The Honorable Alex Heath.
Present.
The Honorable Hattie Portis Jones.
Present.
The Honorable Pat Palin.
Present.
The Honorable James Whitmore.
Present.
Madam Mayor, the attendance of council constitutes a quorum. Please allow the meeting to continue.
Thank you so much, Madam Clerk.
Mayor, also present is our attorney, Randy Turner.
Okay. Mr. Turner, you're on the line.
I am here, and also Valerie is as well.
Okay, thank you. We will now have the invocation by Apostle Danita Jones of In His Great Name Ministry. Apostle Jones.
Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord God, lifting up your name, Lord God, asking you, Lord God, to lead and direct our great city. Father, we ask that every decision that is made, Lord God, that you will be in it, Lord God. We ask right now that the minds are clear. We ask right now that the action is profound. Father, we ask right now in the name of your precious son, Jesus Christ, Lord God, that every person, Lord God, that come before tonight meeting, Lord God, will come in a spirit of excellence. Father, we ask right now, Lord God, that the decisions are made in better the city of Fairburn, Lord God. We pray right now, Lord God, for your grace and mercy to protect this city. And we thank you in advance for what is going to happen, what's going to take place, Lord God, and the growth of it. And we thank you in the precious name of your precious son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Amen. The next item on the agenda is the adoption of the City Council minutes. Council, you received three sets of minutes. All three sets of minutes were by Zoom. The first set is September the 28th, City Council, regular council meeting. Council, do you have any suggestions or amendments or corrections to these minutes? Hearing none, is there a motion on the floor to approve the minutes of September the 28th, 2020?
So moved, Mayor. Councilman Whitmore.
Second.
Is that Councilwoman Davis?
Yes, Mayor. Thank you.
Okay. This motion has been made by Councilman Whitmore and seconded by Councilwoman Davis. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? The minutes are approved 6-0. The next set of minutes is September 28th also, which is the executive session minutes. Is there a motion on the floor to approve?
Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood, so moved.
Is there a second?
Councilman Heath, second.
The motion has been made by Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood and seconded by Councilman Heath. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? September 28th, 2020 executive session minutes stands approved. The last set of minutes for tonight is October 1st, which was also a special call meeting by Zoom. Council, you received copies of those minutes. Are there any corrections to these minutes? Hearing none, may I have a motion on the floor to approve?
Councilman Whitmore, so moved.
Motion made second. By Councilman Whitmore. Is there a second?
Second, Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood.
Seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The October 1st, 2020 minutes now stands approved. The next item on the agenda is the adoption of the City Council agenda for tonight.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion or substitute motion to move item number 10 to item number 1 on the agenda.
Let me go through the agenda for tonight, and then we'll place that motion on the floor to have that item moved. Councilwoman Portis Jones.
Thank you.
You're welcome. The first thing on the agenda tonight is we have two presentations. One by Mr. Aaron Johnson. He's with Fulton County Board of Elections. He's a board member. And the other one is by Eddie Lee Brewster. He's with Fulton Atlanta Community Action Authority. And I also understand that Dr. Joyce Dorsey will be joining him for this presentation. We have three public hearings tonight. The first one is a rezoning of 202-0090 with a concurrent variance 202-0095 for South City Partners Acquisitions, LLC. The second public hearing tonight is rezoning 202-0109 with a concurrent use permit 202-0114 C4 Bullsboro, LLC. And the last public hearing tonight is a use permit 202-0108 1162 Highway 54 East, LLC. Those are the three public hearings for tonight. The regular agenda tonight has 11 items on it. The first item is from Planning and Zoning for Mayor and Council to approve final plat 202-0140 with stack lot number 1. The second one is Planning and Zoning for Mayor and Council to approve the LCI Downtown Master Plan contract award with collaborative firm in the amount of $115,425. The third item is from Engineering, Lester Thompson for Mayor and Council to approve the resolution to adopt the South Fulton County Comprehensive Transportation Plan update. Item number 4 is Engineering also for Mayor and Council to approve the task order number 10 with Pond & Company for professional engineering and landscape architectural services in the amount of $25,000. Item number 5 is from engineering for Mayor and Council to approve the change order with Investcoris Consultants to remove the underground storage tank from the downtown LCI streetscape project in the amount of $1,200. Engineering is also item number 6 for Mayor and Council to approve change order number 2 with Precision 2000 to assist in the removal of the underground storage tanks from the downtown LCI streetscape project in the amount of $17,563.95. The 7th item on the agenda tonight is from our fire department for Mayor and Council to approve the purchase of 25 self-contained breathing apparatus in the amount of $182,000. Item number 8 is also from the fire department. Chief Robinson from Mayor and Council to approve the purchase of 10 sets of bunker gear from Bennett Fire Products in the amount of $25,870. The 9th item on the agenda tonight is for Mayor and Council to approve an intergovernmental agreement with Fulton County School District to accept approximately 0.186 of right-of-way with the Fulton County School District improvements at Campbell Elementary School. That's Attorney Randy Turner. Item number 10 is for Mayor and Council to express support of South City Partners Acquisition LLC proposed Class A multifamily housing development and for the implementation of steps by the Development Authority of Fairmont to provide bond financing and tax abatement assistance for the project. The last item on the agenda tonight is for Mayor and Council to approve a resolution to accept a quitclaim deed of conveyance from Fulton County, accepting the old Campbell County Historic Courthouse. Those are the 11 items on the agenda tonight. We have Councilwoman Portis-Jones has asked that item number 10 is moved to item number 1. Before we approve the agenda, Councilwoman Portis-Jones, do you want to make that motion again, please?
Yes, Mayor. I am making a motion to move item number 10 to be discussed by the city attorney regarding support of South City Partners and potential bond financing. Move that item to number 1 as an agenda item.
Okay. Second that emotion, that motion, Councilwoman Davis.
Okay, the motion has been made by Councilwoman Portis-Jones to move item number 10 to item number 1, and it has been seconded by Councilwoman Davis. May I have the vote, please? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Are those any opposed? That motion carries 6-0. May I have a motion on the floor for the items on the agenda tonight, that, and we will renumber those agendas. So item number 1 will now be item number 2 and so forth. Is there a motion on the floor to approve the agenda items as so stated?
We'll move, Councilman Whitmore.
Is second. There a second?
Councilman Heath.
Motion has been made by Councilman Whitmore and seconded by Councilman Heath. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
That motion carries. The agenda is now set. Okay, the first item on the agenda tonight is a presentation. Mr. Aaron Johnson, are you on the line from Fulton County Board of Elections? Today was the first day of early voting.
So I am here, Madam Mayor.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
I am making it through today. How about yourself?
Great, great. I understand that the lines were long today, especially down at the World Congress Center and here in Fairburn too, and even over on Stonewall Tail.
Well, actually, the lines were long all over the state of Georgia. If you look, we had in Savannah, lines were 8 hours long. In Fulton County, we were averaging anywhere from 30 minutes the 4 hours, depending on where you were. There is so much excitement about the election this year, and the volume of people that came out today was absolutely amazing. I was very concerned that people were going to be upset when they got to the lines, but you should have talked to the folks in line. They were very, very determined to go and vote for whatever reason they were going to vote for. They were there to vote. So. And we're working hard to make sure that line is down to 30 minutes or less.
Right.
All right. So again, good afternoon or good evening rather to Mayor and Council. My name is Aaron Johnson. I represent you on the Board of Registration and Elections for Fulton County. And as the mayor mentioned just now, early voting has started. We've been waiting and anticipating the November 3rd election. It is finally here. And it's already started. We have so much in store for you over the course of the next couple of weeks. And I think that Fulton County is doing an amazing job of bringing you the ability to vote and some different things that we've never been able to do before. As the mayor mentioned, there were some lines today. There were a few glitches with some of the poll pads and some of the machines that we have, but by after lunch, we started getting a groove and getting that together. But even still, there were people just pouring into the locations all throughout the day. So it was mostly volume after lunch. Most people are very excited. They're looking forward to the election, and they're doing all they can do to vote this year. So we have a little quick video about some of the things that Fulton County is doing. It's about 2 minutes long, if that can come up now.
Fulton County voters, Election Day is around the corner. We've made it easier for you to cast your ballot. You have three ways to vote this year. You can vote by mail, vote early, or vote on Election Day. Voting by mail is safe and secure. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Simply request your ballot, complete and sign it, then return by mail or drop box. You can apply for an absentee ballot with a new online portal. Go to ballotrequest.sos.ga.gov. If you have a written absentee ballot application, you can send it to Fulton County by mail, email, fax, or upload to the county secure portal. Learn more about absentee ballots on the Fulton County website or call the Absentee Ballot Call Center at 404-612-7060. When your ballot arrives, fill it out completely and sign it. Remember to use both envelopes. You can simply return your ballot by mail or use a secure drop box. Fulton County has 37 secure drop boxes, so there's one near you. Simply check our website for the full listing. Voters can also vote early in person. Fulton County has 30 early voting locations. Any Fulton County voter can go to any of these early voting locations. Early voting is available from October 12th through the 30th, 7 days a week. Fulton County also has a new voting bus offering mobile voting. And we also have voting at Georgia State, Georgia Tech, and Metro Tech. Visit our website for details. For everything you need to know about early voting, including a complete list of locations, go to fultoncountyga.gov/voteearly or call 404-612-7020. Finally, some voters will choose to vote on Election Day, November 3rd. For this election, Fulton County has added more than 90 Election Day locations to reduce crowding. This means that thousands of voters will have a new location for November 3rd. Remember to check the Georgia My Voter page to see if you have a new location. Go to mvp.sos.ga.gov. Information is key, so stay informed and share with others. For sample ballots, voting locations, and more, you can visit our website at fultonelections.com or call us at 404-612-7020. For more information in the palm of your hands, download the Fulton County Votes app. See you on Election Day.
All right. So not to take up too much of your time, I'm going to just hit a couple of points. We have a new portal that we're using in the state of Georgia to get your absentee ballots. I recommend that if you can get your ballot, if you can apply for your ballot through that portal either this week or the early part of next week, go ahead and get that done so you can get your absentee by mail ballot, and then you can put it in one of the 37 drop boxes around the county. You can put your application or the ballot in that drop box and they pick them up every single day. Early voting has already started. Today was the first day. 31 locations across the county. We have 3 super centers. You've heard about State Farm. You may have heard about the High Museum, but the Georgia International Convention Center is one of our new big locations, super voting centers. Right there in Fairburn, Georgia, you can go to New Beginning Senior Center. The polls are open pretty much every day, different hours, Monday through Friday, then on Saturday and Sunday. But both weekends, we will be open with all of our locations around the county. You can vote in any location, early voting location around the county. Election day, we have moved from 164 to 255 locations. Our goal was to have 5,000 or fewer voters in a polling precinct to make it easier to get through on election day. So make sure you check your voting location before you go. You should have received a notification if your polling location has changed, but go to My Voter page and check to be sure. All the elected officials, you should have received a vote early packet. All of our mayors and city council members across the county should have received a vote early packet, which has all of this information to share with your citizens and your constituents around. But if not, all of your voters can go to Fulton County Elections to get all of this information, or you can go to your app, go to your phone, tap on, we have a great new app, Fulton Elections, Fulton Votes. I hope you can see that, but Fulton Votes. Everything is in this app. The closest early voting location to you, where you're supposed to vote, hours, everything you need to know is right here. So I'm available for any questions, but I just wanted to give you some information and hopefully help everybody out in this massive voting effort that we have this year.
Great. Great presentation. Council members, do you have any questions or comments for Mr. Johnson?
This is Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood. I just have a comment. I just want to thank you for what you have done and what you all are doing with this election. And I was a recipient of very easy voting this morning at one of the mobile sites. I saw a friend post about it. I happened to be in the on the north side of town, and I hit one of the mobile sites and was in and out with 20 minutes. So I just thank you, and I look forward to this election.
All right, we appreciate it. And see, Mayor, we have so much going on. I forgot that we have two mobile voting units that will be traveling around the county that have 8 different machines on each one that you can go in and vote. Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem, for bringing that up.
Yes, it was a great process, And that was, and what I love about this election is just the communication is out there, because I just happened to see it on a Facebook friend's page because I was hearing of the lines down this way, and just Googled where the particular location was, Morningside Baptist Church. And even the guy who was working wanted to know about where we were from. And I told him about the long lines. He instantly got on the phone because he said, hey, we want to make sure that if it is a problem with not enough people at that site, we want to send more people there. So we can really see, or I can really see that this election is being taken serious. And, you know, you guys are doing what's necessary to make sure that all voters are facilitated.
Thank you. We really are.
Council, does any other council member have any other comments or?
Yes, this is Pat, and I do have a comment.
Okay, Councilman Pat Pallett.
I applied for an absentee ballot on the 19th of September, and I still haven't seen that in the mail. Now, I talked to somebody in your office last week, and they said that what was going on was a computer error or something like that. Mm-hmm. I think you need to take a hard look at the absentee ballot registration process to make sure that folks who have registered for an absentee ballot get it in an expedient fashion. This is several weeks now down the line, and I still haven't seen my absentee ballot.
Okay, I can check in with you and I'll find out. You should be able to check my voter page and tell you exactly where that ballot is. But I looked the other day
and it doesn't tell me anything other than I've applied, period.
Okay, well, I will reach out for you. One of the other things that we've done is with the entire state, this mechanism called Ballot Tracks. Ballot Tracks is supposed to track your ballot from your application to processing to printing to mailing to your house. So you can always see where it's at. And what I'll do is reach out to you and we'll figure out a way to show you exactly where that ballot is and get it taken care of for you.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Our council, does anyone else have any comments?
Yes, ma'am.
Councilman Whitmore.
Yes, Mr. Johnson. First of all, I'd just like to thank you for your presentation. Number two, Even though I did apply for an absentee ballot, which I did receive, but I decided to go in and cast my ballot today, the first day of early voting. And of course, they were mighty accommodating. I signed my affidavit and went ahead and voted. So everything went smoothly for me. And we just appreciate all the efforts that you're doing down there at the Fulton County Board of Elections. And we just say thank you for the additional machines, personnel, and everything else. So this is a very important year for us. And it's important that we all get out to vote. So we want to encourage everybody to go out and vote. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. And I'm glad it worked out for you.
Council, does anyone else have any other comments for Mr. Johnson?
It's Councilwoman Davis. I have a simple comment. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
thank you, sir. for your presentation, and thank you for the work you're doing in making sure that our people, our citizens, not only they have the right to vote, but it is not a really rough process. So thank you so much for everything Fulton County has put into this year's election for November 3rd. Thank you.
And thank you to the mayor and council for your continued support. The mayor is very modest in not telling you. I talk to her kind of all the time and other council members about making sure that the citizens of Fairburn are taken care of and that they have fair, accessible elections. And we do all we can. We do it all for every citizen in Fulton County, but we try to take care of Fairburn as well.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Does any other council member have any other comments? With that being said, Mr. Johnson, today my clerk went down to check New Beginnings Senior Center, and they were supposed to have 16 machines. Mm-hmm. We ended up with only 10, and they were short of one person. So the lines was quite long earlier this morning. So I just want to make sure that tomorrow those additional machines are in place and that extra staff person there tomorrow, if you can check in that for me.
I will check into it right after this call.
Okay. Okay, Council, thank you so much for presenting to us this evening, Mr. Johnson. We appreciate it, and today was a great day here in Fairburn for voting, and we're looking forward to the continued relationship with Fulton County. So thank you again for coming.
Thank you for having me. I truly appreciate it. Y'all have a great night.
You too. Bye-bye.
You too.
Good night.
Council members, the next item on the agenda is another presentation, and this presentation is from Mr. Eddie Lee Brewster. He's with Fulton Atlanta Community Action Authority, and joining him will probably also be Dr. Joyce Dorsey. Mr. Brewster, are you on the line?
I am, Madam Mayor. How are you doing?
Good.
To the mayor and council, my name is Eddie Lee Brewster. I think Dr. Dorsey is going to join us shortly. But we are the.
I am here. I can't be seen, but I'm here.
Absolutely. That's great.
Good.
But first of all, I want to thank your clerk, very, very accommodating and making this happen for us. And simply what we're trying to do is help the citizens of Fairburn, all of Fulton County. We are in the process of taking applications and disbursing funds for the COVID release. And your citizens in Fairburn are able to access these funds by calling in. And I'm going to, I hope the, okay, I do see the flyer online. But as you know, a lot of people have been hit very hard during this COVID epidemic. And Fulton County allowed us to have some funds. And I know most of the cities in Fulton County also received some funds to help people relieve. But all we're trying to do is really get the word out that FACA is here for everybody. It's the Fulton Atlanta Community Action Authority with the emphasis on Fulton. Just to give you a little history, FACA, if you've been there for a while in the Atlanta area, if you remember the old EOA, when that organization disbanded, if you remember, former late Commissioner Emma Darnell was the executive director of that organization. Fulton County Commission Chairman Michael Lomax at that time and Mayor Manny Jackson formed FACA to be the social service agency for Fulton County. And Dr. Dorsey has headed that group for 30 years now. And we just like everybody to know that we are here and we are willing and ready to serve all citizens of Fulton County. It is an income-based service. One of our most important popular services is the heating LIHEAF program. And November the 1st would open up for senior citizens, people who are handicapped and senior citizens, November the 1st, and for all others on December the 1st. And I encourage any council member, if you have constituents who need our service, to really urge them to apply for it. Keep in mind, everything is online now. We're not doing any in-person applications now because of COVID. It takes a little time, but we will service everybody who qualifies for our service. And the thing about it, we don't want to give any money back to the federal government, so we want to spend this money that's our money for people who really are in need of services. And some other things that factor, other than the energy system, we help people who have recently been got out of prison, returning citizens. We have a GED program. We help people with hunger. We truly try to be an advocate for senior citizens, especially. Well, so with that in mind, Dr. Dorsey, if you'd like to chime in, go right ahead.
You can hear me. I think you've done well. The flyer is explaining a lot of what you're saying, and we can give a telephone number, which probably appears on the flyer, does it not?
Yeah.
And that number can be the information that is needed. All of the staff are well prepared to answer questions should something come up. One thing that really, really is encouraging is the mortgage assistance. So many people are really dealing with arrears as well as with utilities and all the rest, but we don't want to see anyone lose their home. And because we are a housing counseling agency as well, we would work with the financial end of things to make sure that the mortgage companies and even private owners are amenable to the plans that we would set up to help people get through this gap.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Dorsey and Mr. Brewster. Council members, do you have any questions? I'd just like to make a quick comment that LIHEAP has been in the city of Fairburn for the last 10 years, and it has served a lot of people. And it's our hope that we can continue our relationship with the LIHEAP heating program. Sure. Council members, do you have any questions or comments either for Dr. Dorsey or for Mr. Brewster?
Yes, Mayor. Councilwoman Portis-Jones?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Thank you so much, Mr. Brewster and Dr. Dorsey for sharing the program with us. I'd ask staff if they could send us the flyer so that we could distribute electronically as well. But my question has to do, you come to us presenting this because of COVID. Are the dollars time limited for usage? Is the first question. And then the second one, LIHEAP, we usually access those funds late fall, early winter. And so are we replacing that by accessing those funds now, or are there additional funds for LIHEAP?
Now, yeah, that I think the title is very clear and will answer your question because we do get these questions quite a bit. It is entitled the CARES Act, which goes through this year into next year, because we don't know how long this pandemic is going to persist. And certainly there's an aftermath where people will not have funds to meet their family needs. And these funds are geared up to stretch a little bit longer than they normally would. So then LIHEAP, emergency assistance for the home in other ways, as we already mentioned, the water assistance, the mortgage and rental, and other kinds of emergencies can be addressed through these monies.
Thank you.
Council, do you have any other questions for Dr. Dorsey or Mr. Brewster? again, thank you all for presenting to us tonight. We do appreciate it, and we will make sure that we put your flyer up on the website and distribute it through other social media outlets here in the city of Fairburn.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council.
Thank you. Be safe out there.
Thank you.
Okay, Council. We are ready for our public hearings. We have three public hearings tonight. And we're going to go over the process for the public hearing tonight. And just want to make sure my clerk is on the line and also Dr. Parks.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Okay, I am now going to call to order the public hearing for the rezoning of 202-0090 with a concurrence variance 202-0095 South City Partners Acquisition LLC.
Is that noise?
Is there a motion on the floor to open the public hearing?
So move, Councilwoman Davis.
Motion has been made by Councilwoman Davis to open the public hearing. The public hearing is now open. There will be 15 minutes given to each side, the city staff, and also the applicant tonight to present their case on the public hearing. After each side has spoken, there will be an additional 5 minutes of rebuttal time for the applicant to speak if he so chooses. There will also be 30 minutes for the public to speak for or against this public hearing. Madam Clerk and Devontae Parks will be monitoring the time for each speaker. Each speaker will be given 2 minutes to speak, up to 15 minutes. When you hear a beep, please end your conversation at that particular time. After the public has spoken, we've gotten a rebuttal from the applicant, then council will be able to ask questions of city staff and also of the applicant. After all questions are asked and answered, the public hearing will close and a motion will be placed on the floor for a vote. Council members, do you have any questions concerning the procedures tonight for the public hearing? It looks like Devontae Parks have put something on the screen for our Zoom participants. And it reads that all Zoom participants will be muted. And you will need to utilize your raise your hand feature that's on your system. Call in participant can raise their hands to ask a question by dialing *9. Okay, we're going to start. The public hearing is now open. Tarika Peaks, you're going to be speaking for the city of Fairburn. You have the floor.
Good evening. The applicant, South City Partners, is requesting to rezone 14.97 acres located on Renaissance Parkway from C2 General Commercial to RM36 Multifamily to construct a 287-unit multifamily development. The development will consist of 187 one-bedrooms, 86 two-bedrooms, 14 three-bedroom units with an amenity package to include a clubhouse, gated entry at all access points, swimming pool, recreation area, alternative fuel vehicle charging stations, and a fitness center. The applicant is also requesting a concurrent variance to reduce the required parking spaces from 2 spaces per unit to 1.5 spaces, which is a reduction of 120 parking spaces. The required number of parking spaces is 574 spaces. The applicant is proposing 424 spaces plus 30 garages, which is a total of 454 parking spaces. The 14.97 acre tract lies within the highway mixed use character area, which designates multifamily residential uses as an appropriate zoning district in the character area. The Planning and Zoning Commission reviewed this petition on August the 4th and recommended denial of the rezoning request and the variance petition. Staff is recommending approval conditional of the rezoning and concurrent variance request.
Thank you, Mrs. Peaks. Is our applicant on the line tonight?
Yes, ma'am.
Which is South City Partners.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening.
Can everybody hear me? Good.
Yes.
First and foremost, thank you very much for having us tonight. We're excited to be before you this evening to speak on behalf of our planned project in Fairburn. If you would like me to take it from here, I can, or if Tarika has anything else to add, then I will allow her to do that before I start.
No, this is for the applicant. So this is your time to speak.
Perfect. All right. Well, thank you. So I'm Will Cassidy. I'm with South City Partners. We are the developer that is seeking approval on this project in Fairburn. We are also the developer that is that has just recently developed Croft House Fairburn Apartments, which is very near the site that we are here to discuss tonight. This site, as mentioned, is on Renaissance Parkway, which is at the intersection of Meadow Glen Parkway, which is a newly constructed street, and Renaissance Parkway, which is also a newly constructed street, but it is along Highway 74, just south of Harris Road. So as you can see on your screens, hopefully, the project is contemplated in that location. What this project is doing is effectively completing a horizontally integrated mixed-use developed area. So as you know from driving in that part of town, as you drive along Highway 74, there is a commercial district that is growing. And as you look on Renaissance Parkway, which sits parallel to Highway 74, but back a little bit, you'll see that the residential that we have developed and are subsequently seeking to develop again is also growing. So for those reasons, we're here before you tonight to request the approval of the project that Tarika has introduced here, which is 287 new apartments. We are planning to do that in a fashion that would be complementary but different to Croft House Fairburn, which is our existing project. So aesthetically, this project would be, like I said, complementary in the sense that it would not conflict with what's developed there, but would also be different in the sense that it would continue to add a sense of place and a sense of character to that area. What we are seeking is something that is similar to what we have proven success with in terms of the unit mix that's on the site with ones, twos, and three bedroom units. We are seeking to develop a very robust amenity package. So we are offering something that has prototypically not been found outside of town. Resort style amenities with pools and club rooms and fully equipped fitness centers and dog parks and the whole nine yards. So we are attempting again, with your approval, to bring something to the Fairburn community that we believe is valued by the residents that that have continued to show up. Our experience at Croft House Fairburn has taught us that people want to be in Fairburn. They just want to have an option to be somewhere. We have seen many people move into Croft House Fairburn from other locations in and around Fairburn. So it is bringing people in from Noonan. It's bringing people in from Atlanta. It's bringing people in from other surrounding municipalities, but it's also bringing people in from out of state. We've had people move into Croft House Fairburn from Ohio and New York and other places where they're moving southward and they're looking to find a home. And they land in Fairburn. With all that said, I think to speak a little bit to the project specifically, like I mentioned, you know, we will be looking to do something complementary but different. So you'll see, you know, five main buildings on the site, which will be a variety of 3- and 4-story buildings. There will be five additional buildings that we call carriage houses, which consist of residential units over the top of garages. We will also have a clubhouse or a you know, business office as you initially arrive at the property that will front the street. We will also have all the amenities that I discussed earlier, in addition to top-notch landscaping and other features that will be on the site. The unit finishes that we contemplate here are top of market, best in class as well. So for those of you who have seen Croft House Fairburn, it will be very similar, but again, slightly different in terms of the amenities and the finish offering. So it would be solid surface countertops, tile backsplashes, stainless steel appliances, that type of thing. For those of you who have not seen it, we encourage you to come tour, and we'd be happy to host anyone at any time to come look. So, all that said, as Tarika mentioned, we're seeking approval for 287 units, which is about the same unit count that we had. It's about 10 more units, plus or minus 10 or 11 more units than we have at Croft House Fairburn. We are seeking a similar unit mix because, as we have seen, that is catering predominantly to young professionals and others that are looking to move into the area and call Fairburn home. We are catering to a job basin that stretches both north and south from Fairburn, so everywhere from Pinewood Studios to Grady Hospital. So we've seen a myriad of residents that have moved into the area, and frankly, like we said, we believe that the additional rooftops in this area will continue to be a catalyst for other growth. We believe that the rooftops that you've seen, come to the area recently have been catalytic for some of the other growth in the area. The commercial that's in the area needs rooftops and needs residents to survive. It needs, you know, particularly the incomes and the residents with the disposable income that we have seen are yet another catalyst to that growth. The average household income we've seen at Croft House Fairburn has been in excess of $75,000. So we anticipate a very similar structure, you know, and or a very similar resident base as we develop this new project. So, the unit square footages, just to give everybody a little bit of an overview, will range everywhere from 642 square feet as a starting footage on a one bedroom, all the way up through about 950 square feet. And two bedrooms will be anywhere between 1,090 and about 1,187 square feet. And then the three bedrooms would be about 1,450. Starting rates will be anywhere from 1,175 to about 1,475 for the ones. And then from about 1,475 to about 1,595 on the twos. And then about 1,725 on the threes. So again, those rates are kind of the starting places, and those things will be somewhat subject to market conditions when we open, but that is our projected rate status as of today. I don't believe I have a whole lot else to cover unless there are other questions, but like I said, we are excited to bring another Class A product to the Fairburn marketplace. We have grown to know and love Fairburn, and are excited about the opportunity to work with staff and city and council again, and develop something that we believe will be continually, positively transformative for the area, and will continue to have a positive impact on the growth and trajectory of Fairburn.
Okay, Mr. Cassidy, you will have a 5-minute rebuttal, and after that, council will be able to ask questions. Mr. Cassidy?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Council, you will have a 5-minute rebuttal after the public is able to come on and speak in favor or in opposition of. You will have a 5-minute rebuttal, and at that particular time, after you speak again, if you so chooses to do, then council will have their questions for you.
Okay, great, thank you.
Okay, Madam Clerk, also Mr. Parks, how many people do we have on the line to speak?
At this time, no one has raised their hand at this time.
Okay, so.
Mayor, I do have one hand. I'm sorry.
Wait, just a second. Anyone who is in favor of Anyone who's in favor of South City Partners acquisition, please raise your hand to speak now.
I have two hands up. I'm going to lower those two hands, Mayor, and give them an opportunity. If you would ask the question again, Mayor.
Okay. Anyone who's in favor of South City Partners acquisition, the first person should speak now. Please give me your name and your address.
At this time, Mayor, we have no hands up.
Okay. So we have no one speaking in favor of South City Partners acquisitions.
No, ma'am.
Okay. How many hands do you have of those speaking in opposition of South City Partners acquisition?
I have one hand just raised. Two. The first hand, I'm going to unmute them now.
Okay, the person that's going to speak, please give me your name and your address.
There you go.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. This is Ellen Samuels, 3993 Meadow Ventway. You should have received by now an email containing a petition that was obtained with over 329. And for the record, I just wanted known that that petition was obtained over a period of time via electronic method. I am in opposition of that apartment complex, and one of the main reasons is congestion, along with the additional pollution that it will cause, along with it just not being the right fit for 74. Being part of the comp plan initial of stakeholders, apartments was not our vision for this area. Not that many and not in that high density area. I also believe that there are other things that should play a part other than density in expanding this city. We need to consider the effect that it will have on residents' lifestyle. We need to consider the effect it's going to have on our police department and on our fire department. We do not have a fire station on this side of the interstate, and that is desperately needed if we're going to continue to increase the population. So basically, that is my concern, along with now the additional bond financing that's up for discussion tonight. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. I just want to make sure Ms. Samuels spoke on a petition. I want to make sure that Tarika Peaks received that petition. And if she counted the number of names that's listed on that petition for the record.
Yes, Mayor, I did receive the petition. It was sent twice. The first one was sent during the Planning Commission meeting. I received an email on September the 14th. There was 189 signatures. And today I received another petition, the one that Ms. Samuel spoke of, with 320 signatures and some comments that were against the rezoning.
Okay.
And there's 332.
Ms. Samuel says there's 332 names on the petition in opposition. Ms. Peaks, would you make sure that you note that?
Okay, duly noted.
Okay, Is there a second person speaking in opposition
of yes.
South City Partners acquisition?
Yes, ma'am. I'm unmuting Thomas Cochran, ma'am.
Okay. Mr. Cochran, you want to give me your full name and your address?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Thomas W. Cochran, 467 Fireleaf Way, Fairburn, Georgia. I'm in agreement with the people I've talked with in that area and the density and the congestion over there. I think that's not appropriate. Second of all, when we did all the surveys and development for the city, I think each one of the surveys mentioned that the apartments was the agreement that we had to really worry about the apartments and the density. And second of all, development and the bond issue, I don't think the city should be in this bond issue of supporting apartments. If we do, I think it's gonna set a precedent for other apartments to come in, maybe wanna do the same thing, but I don't think a bond issue would be appropriate for us as a city to address this issue like that. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Dr. Parks, do we have anyone else who wants to speak in opposition of?
There are no more hands at this time, Mayor.
Okay. Want to check again to make sure before we continue on.
Yes, ma'am. There are no hands.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Cassidy, are you still on the line?
We are unmuting him now, Mayor.
Okay.
Yes, I am.
Okay. You have a 5-minute rebuttal if you would like to take it at this particular time.
Thank you. Well, first and foremost, thank you very much for your comments to those who spoke, and we appreciate your thoughts, and we want you to know that we hear you. And so thank you for that. To first speak to the congestion, you know, we, in the course of business in our industry, we oftentimes hear that argument relative to residential. But one of the little known facts is that residential, of all the commercial retail uses, actually produces the least amount of traffic. So on a highway like Highway 74, which has, upwards of, I believe it's 40,000 cars per day. I'm looking at my notes here. Yeah. So in upwards of 40,000 cars per day, traffic analysis suggests that at peak hours, another residential development such as ours would add a mere 100 cars or so to that equation. So from a congestion standpoint, the traffic data suggests that isn't as much of a concern as it may seem. But we do understand why it might seem that way. Additionally, some of the infrastructure improvements that have happened in that area, I believe, will be very helpful to alleviate any of those potential concerns. For example, the new traffic light that was installed at Meadow Glen Parkway, that will do a lot to ensure that traffic is controlled in an appropriate manner. In addition, some of the coming changes relative to the 75 interchange at Highway 74 will also alleviate some of the congestion on Highway 74. Now, we do understand, again, that congestion is something that has been a point of concern for the neighbors. However, we do want to emphasize that another 100 vehicles on account of over 40,000 per day is not going to heavily impact that traffic, and it's not going to be a meaningful impact. So to speak to the density and the desire to not see density there. One of the other things that I think would be helpful for others to be aware of is that this property has been available now for going on 2 years. The landowners sought other uses on this property. As we were developing, even in the early stages, before we ever started construction on Croft House Fairburn, the landowners sought other commercial uses for that piece of property, and unfortunately were unsuccessful. The reason for that being that, as I mentioned earlier in my prelude, the need for additional rooftops and the need for additional density in this area is that it is a catalyst for the growth and the dynamics that what we are hearing is what people are looking for, which is, you know, full service restaurants, grocery, additional retail and food service offerings, et cetera. So we can understand and appreciate that while the vision may not necessarily be exactly congruent with what might have been thought several years ago, we do believe that the highest and best use for this property today is for a Class A apartment project. Now, to speak to some of the bond financing, the reason that we are asking for some of that is that we, by financing using the Bonds for Title program, we are able to deliver a best-in-class product at a more affordable price point. So typically you would see the type of product that we're being, that we are developing, you would see that being offered at significantly higher rental rates. So by offering the product that we're offering at the rates that we're able to offer them using the bond financing, we're able to attract the residents that we spoke of earlier to this area. We're able to offer a compelling residential offering to residents who otherwise wouldn't have that option in the area. So by doing that, we can bring in qualified, quality residents into this area who can then help support the retail, service, and other industries that Fairburn has and that Fairburn wants to see continue to grow. So for those reasons, we understand and appreciate the concerns, but we would like to again reinforce that the congestion, for all intents and purposes, will be negligible in terms of what our project would add to the existing transportation infrastructure there. The density that we're delivering is, again, not on the larger side of apartment communities as that's concerned. So at the end of the day, you know, there may be, 400 people or so, maybe upwards of 500 at the end of the day living in that area. But again, we don't believe that 500 people will materially change the look and the feel of Fairburn. And if anything, we believe that by bringing in the people that we're bringing in to our product, that it'll have a positive impact on Fairburn. And again, the impacts
Mr.
on the
community.
Yes, ma'am.
It's the 5 minutes are over.
Okay, I apologize. Thank you very much.
No problem.
Thank you so much, Mr. Cassidy. At this particular time, the floor is open to all council members for any questions or comments, either to city staff or to the applicant, which is South City Partners Acquisition. The floor is now open for questions or comments.
Mayor, this is Councilwoman Davis.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a couple of questions as well as concerns for South City Partners Acquisition. My first question, you had noted that you also built a Croft House. And can you tell me at this point, what is the occupancy rate? What percentage as opposed to the number of apartments that you have there? I think it's somewhere in the total of 270. What's the percentage that's occupied at this point in time?
Yes, ma'am. So we have 276 apartments at Croft House Fairburn. And as it stands today, we are approximately 72% occupied, which is ahead of the projections that we had when we initially developed the project. So for those who don't know, I'll quickly explain how a new residential project works. It does not go from zero to 100% overnight. It usually takes about a year and a half to lease up a new residential project. So from the time you deliver the first unit to the time that you stabilize the project, typically about a year and a half. Currently on the course that we're on with Croft House Fairburn, this project will stabilize in only about a year. So we are ahead of pace in terms of the occupancy that we projected that we would be at today relative to when we started the project.
Okay, thank you. I noticed in your application information as it relates to public participation. I also noticed the date June 10th, 2020 at 1 p.m. is when you had the public meeting posted. And it stated here that there were no property owners in attendance. And my concern is that it seemed like that day and time would have been a little inconvenient for people to come to your public hearing and address any concerns and ask questions that they may have had of this development. So I'm a little bit concerned at the time and the date that you selected for this public participation. And I do understand why maybe there weren't any property owners in attendance at the meeting.
Yes, ma'am. So we sent out the notification. We provided both contact info for phone calls or emails. In addition, for that public meeting, because it was the height of COVID and quarantine was in place and everybody was sort of sheltering at home or what have you, we also provided a digital link for people to be able to join digitally. So we tried to accommodate in as many ways as we possibly could. And so we believe that, we gave our, best reasonably commercially reasonable efforts to obtain feedback. And unfortunately we didn't get any, and nor did anyone respond to the letter in which we encouraged them to reach out even beyond that public hearing. And we didn't receive any feedback.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilwoman Davis. Any other council members have any questions for the applicant or for Ms. Peaks?
Yes, Councilman Heath.
Councilman Heath?
Yes, ma'am. Mr. Cassidy, can you explain in greater detail how this bond that you're talking about, is it going to obligate the city to pay any or be on the responsible for any of the payback on the loan or whatever you're getting from the bond?
Sure, it does not. So the way the bond program works is it is a 10-year tax abatement, which effectively only allows us to take a bit of a decrease on the taxes over the course of a 10-year period. So there is no out-of-pocket for the city whatsoever. The way this actually works is if you look at the tax value of a vacant piece of land today, and then you look at the tax value of a developed piece of property tomorrow, what we are doing is we are taking an abatement on the taxes that we would pay on the fully developed property tomorrow. And when I say tomorrow, I mean once it's, once the project exists.
Yes.
So we are taking an abatement on the taxes that would be due on a fully developed project. And we are abating those taxes that runs across a 10-year period, beginning at 50% and working its way all the way back to 100% over that 10-year period. So the incentive and the reason why the city would do this is because it doesn't actually cost the city anything. If you have a vacant tract of land, that tract of land will create less tax revenue for the city than a developed tract of land. And even the developed tract of land with a tax abatement on it will still generate more tax revenue for the city than a vacant piece of land. So what this tax or what this bonds program does is allows the city to institute what's called a bonds for title program, which is just a very complicated legal structure for effectively allowing the city and the county to give a tax abatement on the project.
And I have one other question in dealing with, I heard you use the term rooftop count. Can you expound on that as to how is an apartment complex rated like rooftop count as opposed to a subdivision?
Sure. So an apartment community, particularly one of Class A status, like what we'll be developing, is rated very similarly to a subdivision in terms of there are certain assumptions made, and that's going to vary group to group. So depending upon who's looking at that that data, they're going to make slightly different assumptions. But effectively, what people do is they look at the number of household counts, or meaning whether it's a single family home or whether it's an apartment. They look at the numbers of those rooftops in an area. And so one rooftop or one single family home rooftop or one apartment more or less counts as the same in most contexts. They look at those rooftops and then they make determinations about the numbers of people who live in those areas. And that gives them more or less a population density or a population count on that area. Additionally, the demographic data that I quoted earlier vis-a-vis the average household income, that data also becomes very useful for other commercial users or other developers who are seeking to do things in the area. That data becomes very useful for them as well to determine what uses can be supported by the residents in that area. So a particular household income, like at the property we discussed a few minutes ago, is quite strong. And that suggests that other commercial uses are viable because they can be supported by the residents who live in that area based on the average household incomes, which then correlates to the amount of disposable income that those residents often have.
Okay. And one last thing I just have to think about this. Putting a living quarters close to a power line, is there a detriment to that?
There is not, because we will maintain significant distance from those lines. So those lines, if you've ever looked at a Georgia Power piece of property, there's significant buffering on either side of those lines. So if the property, I'm going to make up some numbers here. If the property is 200 feet wide, you know, only 50 feet of that would be used for the power lines, and then there'd be significant buffering on either side of that. In addition, we would buffer on our own property a little more from those lines, but the short answer is no, that's not a concern.
All right, thank you, sir.
Yes, sir, thank you.
Before we continue on, Attorney Turner, are you on the line?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, Mr. Cassidy gave us some information a few minutes ago concerning the bond and our obligation. But I would like for counsel to hear it from you.
So the bond for title, this is an application that they are making to the development authority of the city. The city of Fairburn itself, in fact, would not be a party in any way to that transaction. They have approached the development authority, asked them to participate with a bond for title program in which they would be allowed to take advantage of a tax abatement over this 10-year period of time. Neither the city nor the development authority would ever be responsible for any of the underlying debt. This has come up frequently in the past on other bond issues that the development authority has been involved in. Just make it as clear as possible, it is actually illegal for either the city or the development authority to enter into a transaction like this where it assumes any responsibility for the underlying debt. This is a economic development tool that under statute exists for the development authority. And so they have approached the development authority asking them to participate in this way for the purposes that Mr. Cassidy just explained.
Thank you, Attorney Turner. Council, the floor is open again for any questions or comments to our staff, Tarika Peaks, or to Mr. Cassidy. Are there any other comments or questions?
Yes, Mayor. This is Mayor Councilwoman Portis-Jones. Yes, I asked to speak when Councilwoman Keith was allowed to speak.
Sure. So Now we're going to hear from Councilwoman Portis-Jones, and I think the next speaker is probably Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So Councilwoman Portis-Jones, you have the floor.
Thank you so much, Mayor. So I have several questions. City Attorney Turner just spoke, if he could answer this question for me. I understand what you say about, you know, this is under the redevelopment authority of the city of Fairburn. But our city, our development authority does not have financial wherewithal. Everything it does is on the credit worthiness, the legal authority of the city of Fairburn. Is that correct?
No, ma'am. There is nothing about this transaction that relies on any credit worthiness of either the city or the development.
So what then exactly, we're going to the development authority for tax abatement privileges only? Is that what you're saying?
That's correct.
Okay, my other question is for Mr. Cassidy or the city attorney if he deems appropriate to answer. And that is regarding the development of the Croft House. So was this mechanism used for the development of those projects or the development of Solstice?
Yes, ma'am. This same structure was utilized in the development of both of those projects, so both Solstice and Croft House Fairburn. The only difference was on those two projects, we exercised the exact same platform, but it was through Fulton County Development Authority, because at the time, I don't believe that the Fairburn Development Authority, I'll defer to Mr. Turner on this, but I don't believe that the Fairburn Development Authority had the capability of exercising it at that time.
So yes, Attorney Turner, please respond.
Well, I think they did have the ability to participate in that way. You know, this has been a topic of much discussion at the Development Authority over the last several years, is trying to encourage people to come through the Development Authority of the city as opposed to going to Fulton County. But the Development Authority of the City of Fairburn certainly had the ability at the time that they did the last two projects to participate in that project, just as they are being asked to do in this one.
Okay, so my other question is, does the development of this project that is being proposed, does it hinge on this tax abatement program that you are requesting through the Development Authority?
Yes, ma'am, it does.
It does. So if it is not approved through the Development Authority, which we'll be discussing, you will not be doing this project. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am, that is correct.
Okay. My other question is, your proposal for this project, does it replace the project that we discussed, I believe earlier this year or late last year on Brooks Drive? Does this replace that project?
I'm not familiar with what you're referring to on Brooks Drive.
Okay, so maybe you weren't involved, but Sean, and I'm sorry, I don't know Sean's last name. I don't know who he was representing at the time, but he was a part of that project. Is that correct, Sean?
No, ma'am. I do not know of that project either.
Okay, so that's a different group of people.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right, and then my last question it has to do with occupancy at Solstice and the Croft House impact on that, as well as what impact have you seen on surrounding apartments, the increase in vacancy of surrounding apartments within Fairburn as a result of the Croft House? In essence, is there a rating of residents moving from one apartment complex to the other?
Sure,
because the vacancy rates will hit, will have an impact on the city as a whole, whether you're full, but the other ones are having some issues.
Sure. Yes, ma'am. So our project team, the team on site at Croft House Fairburn today is actually the same team that was on site at Solstice. And last they told us, we had about less than 10 residents who had moved from Solstice to Croft House Fairburn. As we know today, based on when we ask, you know, we ask the other market, the other market projects about once a month. But last we heard, Solstice was 98% occupied, and the market as a whole was about 97% on average.
Okay, so meaning no impact on surrounding apartments. Is that what you're saying? Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Okay, thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you. The next speaker is Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood.
All right. Thank you, Mayor. Mine is just for Ms. Peaks. Just trying to get an understanding because I know we have a conflict in planning and zoning's recommendation and staff's recommendation. So I just wanted to kind of understand what planning and zoning, did they raise any other concerns besides the ones that were raised by the other residents tonight about the congestion and just the, I'm just trying to get understanding why, what was their stream of thought behind denial?
Basically the same thought process that's been discussed tonight, or the some of the main points I would say that's been discussed tonight is one is traffic.
You can tell me why I keep getting unmute on my city cell phone.
Traffic being one of the concerns that were brought up, and just the amount of apartments in the vicinity of the new project. Those were two of the main things that were discussed at the planning and zoning meeting.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, are there any other questions or comments from the city council?
Mayor, I have a follow-up question, Councilwoman Portis-Jones.
Okay, Councilwoman Portis-Jones.
Yes, for Ms. Peaks. Ms. Peaks, in the comments by Ms. Samuels, she raised the concern that additional apartments, and so did Mr. Cochran, additional apartments were not part of our comprehensive plan. Could you address that, please?
Yes. The comprehensive plan for the highway mixed-use character area does in fact recommend multifamily as appropriate zoning categories for the particular character area. And so it's consistent with the comp plan. Multifamily, the map that was actually in the staff report and one that was put on the screen actually shows property around it that's already zoned RM12 multifamily, which is a little lower density apartments, but still apartments is a part of the plan that's identified in the comprehensive plan. So staff review the comprehensive plan when we make our recommendations on whether to recommend approval or denial. And that was one of the things that the comprehensive plan did mention. Also staff look at other things such as the desire to have grocery stores and sit down restaurants in the area. And, you know, the community development staff has had conversations with developers. And one of the main things they talked about is density, that we do not have the density in the area to support grocers as well as full service restaurants. So staff also looked at it from that perspective as well, from an economic development standpoint, hoping that more density in the area will eventually get us a sit-down restaurant or a grocery store. We've had a grocery store analysis that was done December of 2019, and some of the main grocery stores, the Kroger's, Publix, Aldi's, all talked about we don't have the density and the modest household income in the area and a low population density due to the large amount of vacant land. So staff looks at the comprehensive plan as well as where the city wants to go in the future. And so that's why staff recommendation was approval.
All right, and then one last question relative to that. Where is the vacant land that you're referencing for future sit-down restaurants and grocers. Go ahead.
So groceries, most the people that we've talked to, developers, talk about a grocery store being on the going home side, which would be the south portion going into Peachtree City. So you have tracts of land on that side that is very vacant and for sale for a grocery store. And you still have land on the opposite side of 74, which will be the north side. And so we anticipate that grocery stores would come as we increase density.
One other question, Mr. Cassidy, please. It is my understanding that your business model is to develop these properties and then you proceed to sell them after 2 to 3 years. And I understand that that is also the plan for this new development as well. First of all, is that true? And two, how has that model worked relative to Solstice, which would be, I guess, of the age that you would have sold it by now?
Yes, ma'am. Good question. So yes, that is our business model. We develop properties like this, and then we subsequently sell them. Most of the time, we end up selling our properties to institutional investors, such as life insurance companies or, equity platforms out of New York, or large institutions that seek to invest in growing communities. And so typically they partner with a local operator, so somebody who knows and is from the area. So for example, Solstice, we have sold. We sold Solstice to a group that has been operating it now for about a year and a half, I would think. And so what our business model enables us to do is introduce investors to marketplaces that they might not otherwise be familiar with. And so through our contacts and through our success in this industry, we've been able to introduce investors that otherwise would not know of certain marketplaces or would not know of certain opportunities by virtue of the products that we develop. So we go identify growing, thriving markets like Fairburn, and we're able to bring in those investment structures and those investment platforms to those locations. And those groups oftentimes end up investing in other places as well in those markets.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, are there any other questions from any other council members? The floor is still open for questions or comments.
Mayor,
this is, okay.
I heard Councilman Heath first and then Councilwoman Davis second.
Thank you.
Ms. Peaks, that piece of property that we're speaking of, has there been any other inquiries or a better use for it than apartments, to your knowledge?
To my knowledge, we haven't had anyone to show any interest in developing that site prior to South City Partners.
All right. Thank you so much.
Councilwoman Davis, you're next.
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Cassidy, in reference to your business model of developing and then selling within 2-year period, will this bond issue, this 10-year bond issue that abates taxes, will that be transferred to the new owners once you sell?
Yes, ma'am. Most oftentimes it is. But the bond structure enables the business model to exist. And so the sale of the asset is still contingent upon the financial metrics that bond creates. And so, but for the bond, the financing and the existence of the project doesn't really work. So yes, ma'am, the answer is yes. The bond would transfer to any new owner. But if I may, I'd also like to add, our business model is to develop and then subsequently sell. But we, like anybody else, are subject to market conditions. And so we have held assets for, you know, 2 years, but we've held assets for 5 or 6 years as well. So it really just depends on the market dynamics at that point in time and kind of what we foresee on the horizon for any particular project.
Thank you.
Okay. Mayor, Councilman Whitmore.
Councilman Whitmore, and you will probably be the last one to speak before we close the public hearing.
Thank you, Mayor. My question is for Ms. Peaks. Ms. Peaks, one of my colleagues already alluded to the Planning and Zoning Commission's recommendation of denial, and I see on staff recommendation of approval, but conditionally. Would you go over those conditions, please?
Yes. Staff has recommended a total of, well, three subsets of conditions. The first one being to restrict the use of the subject property as follows. Residential units at density no greater than 20 units per acre at 287 units, whichever is less. To the owner's agreement to abide by the following, the property shall be developed in substantial conformity with the zoning site plan, dated received October 2nd, 2020. Said site plan is conceptual only and must meet or exceed the requirements of the city's ordinances prior to the approval of a land disturbance permit. Any major deviation from this site plan is subject to approval by the city engineer or designee. To the owner's agreement to the following site development considerations, minimum 9-foot ceilings, excluding fur-downs for HVAC and plumbing, full amenity package, including recreation area, courtyard, swimming pool, fitness center, and club room. The number of 3-bedroom units shall be limited to no more than 10% of the total number of units. Exterior material shall be a minimum of 30% brick or stone and 40% stone or other cementitious material. Vinyl siding and veneer shall be prohibited. All roof mounting equipment shall be screened from the public right of way. Property should have an entry gate at all access points and a fence surrounding the residential portion of the property. Wood fencing material shall be prohibited. Stream buffers shall be excluded from this requirement. Garages shall be provided for 10% of the total number of units. And lastly, a minimum of 2 alternative fuel vehicle charging stations.
Thank you, ma'am.
Mr. Whitmore, do you have another question?
No, Mayor. Thank you.
Okay. May I have a motion on the floor to close the public hearing, please?
So moved, Councilman Heath.
Councilman Heath has made a motion to close the public hearing. Okay. The public hearing is now closed. City Council members, I ask that you vote either yay or nay. A motion will be placed on the floor by a council member, and we will get a second, and you would vote yay, which means yes, or nay, which means no. Is there a motion on the floor to approve or deny South City Partners acquisitions?
So move, Mayor, Councilman Heath.
You're moving to approve?
Yes.
A motion has been made by Councilman Heath to approve South City Partners acquisition. Is there a second?
A second, Councilman Whitmore.
The motion has been seconded by Councilman Whitmore. I will now call each council member's name. Please vote yay, which is yes, nay, which is no. Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood.
Nay.
N-A?
Yes.
Councilman Whitmore?
Yay.
That's a yes?
Yay, yes.
Councilman Heath?
Yes.
Councilman Palin?
Nay.
Councilwoman Linda Davis?
Nay.
Councilwoman Hattie Portis Jones.
Nay, no.
That motion fails 4-2. The nays is Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood, Councilman Pat Pallin, Councilwoman Linda Davis, and Councilwoman Hattie Portis Jones. Okay. Motion fails. All right. We have another item on, we have another rezoning. And it is also a public hearing. The second public hearing tonight is the rezoning of 202-0109 with the concurrent use permit 202-0114 C4 Brewsboro LLC. Is there a motion to open the public hearing?
So moved, Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood.
Motion made by Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood. As with the last public hearing, each side will be given 15 minutes to present city staff and also the applicant. Madam Clerk?
Ms. Yes, Kamar? Mayor. Yes, Mayor.
We're here, Mayor.
Okay. Do you have, are you all ready, as soon as the city staff and the applicant speaks, are you all ready with the public?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Ms. Peaks?
Yes, ma'am. The applicant C4 Brewsboro is requesting to rezone 2.93 acres from R3 single family residential to M1 light industrial with a concurrent use permit to allow a truck terminal on 5.33 acres with 99 parking spaces. The parking facility will have 24 hours, 7 days a week security. No long-term storage of trucks or trailers will be allowed on the lot, and no overnight or sleeping facilities will be provided on the lot. The Planning and Zoning Commission reviewed the request on September 1st and recommended approval conditional based on the land use compatibility of the surrounding properties and the 2018 Atlanta Regional Commission Truck Parking Assessment Study findings and recommendations detailed in the staff analysis. Staff recommendation is approval conditional of the C4 Brewsboro rezoning and use permit request.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Peaks. And who will be speaking for the applicant?
Should be John Davis.
Mr. Davis, are you on the line?
We're asking him to unmute, Mayor. We're asking him to unmute.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, ma'am, I'm here.
Okay. Mr. Davis, we're in the public hearing. At this time, you have 15 minutes to present your presentation on the concurrent use permit.
Thank you, ma'am. My presentation won't take quite that long. We're not nearly as complicated as the apartments. I am John Davis, and I'm representing C4 Goldsboro Inc. and representing them through Berkshire Hathaway Commercial Properties. And just to make a point of trying to straighten out any confusion that may be there, this is not a green oil project. As Tarika had pointed out, this
This is a rezoning of 2.93 acres out of a total acreage of 5.33. We have six lots. Two of them are already zoned M1. The remainder of the four are included in the zoning tonight. And of course, the use permit is for the entire 5.33 acres. This project is being done in an area that is almost completely industrial. There's a small, very small component of residential that abuts this property. And the objective here of ours and also the city requirement is that we put in a buffer between us and the residential 50-foot buffer vegetated. The entire lot will be fenced for security purposes. It will be monitored 24/7 by a video surveillance group who does live monitoring. The construction is simple. There won't be any structures added to the property itself, aside from the fence and a gate controller, some lighting and cameras, of course. And we intend to park somewhere in the neighborhood of about 99 full truck park spaces. And one of the objectives of what we're trying to accomplish here is to provide for safe haven and parking for trucks that are coming into our area that are going to various warehouses that we have that are here and that are coming. And hopefully this will serve as a bit of a relief valve, so to speak, for traffic with trucks to get them off the road quicker and into a parking space so that they can wait until their appointed time to go to these warehouses. And that's about it for the presentation. I'm happy to answer questions.
Okay, we will be back with council to ask questions in just a few minutes. We have to go to the public now for those in favor of or opposition. You will have a 5-minute rebuttal as soon as the public finishes with their for or against. Mr. Davis.
Thank you, ma'am.
Dr. Parks.
There are no hands at this time, Mayor.
Are there any hands up for in favor of?
There are no hands up, Mayor.
Okay. Are there any hands up in opposition of?
There are no hands up at this time.
Okay. There are no hands for in favor of, and there are no hands for opposition of. Council members, the floor is open for any questions you may have to city staff or to the applicant, John Davis.
Mayor, this is Councilwoman Davis.
Councilwoman Davis?
Yes. Yes. I do have some concerns with the location of this truck terminal. I actually went by and drove by the site. And my concerns are coming in a couple of areas with trucks coming off or coming on to Jonesboro Road. Let me ask Mr. Davis just to make sure I am clear with this. These trucks will be coming from Jonesboro Road into the facility and then leaving the facility onto Jonesboro Road?
Yes, ma'am, that's the current plan.
Okay. Well, that's where my concern is for a number of reasons. We have Jonesboro Road, if you're coming onto Jonesboro Road from this potential facility and you make a left, Jonesboro Road turns into, is also 138, And then 138 is into Highway 92, turns into Highway 92. We have an Amazon warehouse that is on 92, not necessarily in the city of Fairburn. I think it's in the city of South Fulton. But I have seen anywhere from 9 to 10 of their huge vans coming down 92, crossing over 29 onto Jonesboro Road in the mornings. And my concern is Amazon has these huge vans. And then we've got the facility, proposed facility, with 99 trucks, the truck terminal, that will be also coming in to Jonesboro Road. I have a concern there in reference to the traffic and the congestion and all the different trucks that will be using that particular area, that road. My other concern is, I have a question for that concern, is you did have a public meeting on August 7th, but it's not indicated how many people attended. Can you share, give me some insight on the number of people attended?
Yes, ma'am. We had one gentleman who was in attendance who owns one of the residential properties that abuts his property. And he didn't have any opposition to the project coming in.
Okay. And also have a concern in reference to, I don't know if this will be part of contract, but Ms. Peaks, do we have, this is for you, Ms. Peaks, in reference to street maintenance and everything, when I went over there the other day, those streets are sort of narrow. Will there be any improvement on those streets if this project is successful with trucks coming in and out 24/7?
The engineering department reviewed the proposal, that the concept plan that was submitted with the application, and submitted comments that's on page 4 of the staff analysis. And they did mention, certain things like turning lanes could be required once a land disturbance permit is actually submitted, but it will be based on projected traffic demands. Mentions about new roads, so street wideness could also be required, curb and gutter. Once a land disturbance permit is submitted to staff for review, and those things will be reviewed at that time, and the engineering department will require certain infrastructure improvements if so needed.
Okay. Has there been any determination in reference to noise, since this is 24/7 operation of huge trucks coming in and going 24/7?
No, we did not require a noise study by the applicant.
Okay. That's all I have for right now.
Councilman Heath. Yes, Mr. Davis. I was reading on page 8A, and it says on-site security shall be provided by the owner operator of the truck terminal. Does this mean that you're going to have a human being there for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week?
No, sir, we would not. The monitoring service that we would use has live monitoring. They'll have somebody sitting in a room with a lot of monitors and viewing the cameras that are there, and that the monitoring system would be operating 24/7. So there would be a live person viewing who could react to anything that happened.
And long-term storage, you're saying not to exceed 21 days?
Yes, and just to speak to that for a moment, to answer Councilwoman Davis's one of her questions, we don't anticipate that many trucks having movement all day. It's not like we're going to have 99 trucks moving in and out constantly. some of those trucks will be parked there for a few weeks at a time. And these customers that come to do that are going to park their truck there while they're at home. And when they get on the road, they're going to leave a car there and go. So it's not quite as many trucks moving up and down as what one might think.
Okay.
Mayor?
Yes, Councilwoman Davis.
Yes, with that information from Mr. Davis, I have like another question. Mr. Davis, could you give us an average amount of trucks coming and going out of that facility?
We have anticipated approximately a third of the lot to go for overnight reservations, and third to maybe a half, but probably not more than a half, and the remainder of that will be for longer term parking. A lot of these folks that are utilizing these lots are over the road drivers, and they're gone for 3 or 4 days or a week at a time, and they have to have a place to park their vehicle. Some of them live in apartments, and they certainly can't park their truck where they live if they're living in an apartment. So it provides them with a place to put their truck that's up and out of the way, and a safe place to have it and a safe place to go collect it when they're going to get back on the road and leave their vehicle.
Thank you.
Okay, Council, the floor is still open. Does anyone else have any questions for city staff or for Mr. Davis? I see that I just saw Councilman Palin come up. Is he muted?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
No, it's not me. So I have nothing to question. Okay.
Mayor, it's Councilwoman Portis Jones.
Oh, I'm sorry. So is Councilwoman Portis Jones on again?
Okay. She's unmuted now. Hold on, Mayor, for 1 second. We're trying to get her unmuted. For some reason, we can't seem to get her unmuted. Councilwoman, there you are.
There we go. Thank you so much. Thank you. To the applicant. So several questions. One, did you have conversations with the school bus terminal? What impact would these large number of trucks have on their operation?
We haven't had direct conversation with them. They were invited to our public notice meeting. And as a matter of fact, we sent notice to two different departments with them. They have two different addresses. I guess one is for the shop. They didn't respond at all. So, but they certainly had an opportunity, but we didn't speak directly to them. These buses, when they're going and coming from that lot back there, they're just leaving a parking lot and coming back to one. So there are no children on the buses. So I do know that, we're kind of speaking to congestion right now, but it's not a safety issue with children, certainly.
Okay. My second question is, are there amenities that you're proposing as part of this project, or is it just truck parking?
It's just truck parking. We would not be building any structures there.
Okay. And then the security you spoke about, it would be electronic monitoring. Is that what you're stating?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And the number of truck parking lanes you're proposing?
On our conceptual plan, we have drawn in 99, but we're probably going to lose a few of those 99 full truck spaces. Probably lose a few of those to construction concerns.
And then your buffer around the residence, what are you proposing to put there?
We're required to put in a 50-foot vegetated buffer by the city ordinance, and that's what we would do.
All right. And you said that you had one resident in the area to attend your community meeting?
One of those residential property owners did, yes, ma'am.
And they expressed no concern?
That's correct.
All right. And then one last question, either you or Ms. Peaks. Could you tell me what's on that property right now? Is it a vacant lot or is something else on that property?
Three of the lots that are in this group of six, this is an assemblage of six lots with two property owners. Three of the lots are vacant completely. Two of them have houses on them that are abandoned and in fairly irrepair, from my understanding. One of them is an actual resident who would be moving from that property.
Okay. And then how far away are you from Taylor Gas? Is there quite a distance there?
They're down the street just a bit from us. It's not really a great amount of distance. They're fairly close to us.
Okay. And any concerns regarding, being that close to a propane gas facility? I think that's right. Mm-hmm.
That's correct. They are propane gas.
Yes. Yes.
And, ma'am, we wouldn't have any concerns with that.
Okay.
They have trucks on their lot as well.
All right. Okay. And then Ms. Peaks, any environmental issues of concern? I think Councilwoman Davis raised that issue as well. Did we have an assessment of that?
There was no environmental assessment done. Didn't see one that needed to be done from staff's perspective. So no, ma'am.
Okay. All right. And then any issues or concerns from Union City?
No, ma'am, not at all.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Okay. I'm going to allow Mr. Davis to come back with any closing comments if he has any. Before we close the public hearing. Mr. Davis, do you have any closing comments or rebuttals you would like to speak on?
I'd just like to say that I feel like this project will help the area and get some of the truck traffic off of the road. The ARC has done several studies along in conjunction with some national DOT groups that average that these big trucks wind up spending approximately 4 hours in the evening trying to find a place to park. And the quicker we can get them off the road, that speaks to actually having a place for them to come, the better off it is for congestion and for safety issues with people with folks who are driving up and down the road.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Davis. Council, may I have a motion on the floor to close the public hearing?
So moved.
So move.
Go ahead. I second.
Motion made by Councilwoman Portis Jones and seconded by Councilwoman Davis to close the public hearing. The public hearing is now closed. Council, you have before you a rezoning of 2020109 with a concurrent use permit 2020114 C4 Brewersboro LLC. Is there a motion on the floor to approve or deny? We're going to actually vote the same way we voted before, with a yay, which is yes, or nay, which is no. So is there a motion on the floor to approve or deny?
Councilwoman Davis, I move that we deny this request.
There's a motion on the floor to deny. Is there a second?
Second.
There's a
Councilwoman Portis Jones.
Mm-hmm. There's a second by Councilwoman Portis Jones to deny the request for this rezoning with a concurrent use permit. I ask that council now take the vote. Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood, yay or nay?
Yay.
Is that yes?
Yes.
Okay. Councilman Whitmore?
Yes.
Yes. Councilman Heath?
Yes.
Councilman Palin?
Yes.
Councilwoman Davis?
Nay.
Councilwoman Portis Jones?
Yes.
You're voting yes?
Yes.
Okay. The motion. The motion, let's see, there's one, two, three, four. We have five yes and one nay. The motion passes.
Mayor?
Let me go back a second. Councilwoman Davis, your motion was to deny.
That's correct.
Okay. Your motion was to deny this rezoning.
Right.
Okay. Okay. So we, so the vote is five.
5-1.
5-1.
Yes.
The motion, the vote is 5-1 to deny. Okay.
Mayor Hurst, it's Erica. I just have a question for you. I just wanted to get clarity. Everybody voted yes to deny the motion.
Everybody.
Yes, 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 that's true. Everybody voted yes.
Yes. Everybody, Councilwoman Davis, was your vote yes?
It's yes. It should have been yes. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All
I
right.
I apologize. That was my error, Mayor.
Okay. Okay. So the vote is 6-0 to deny the motion.
Right.
The motion is 6-0 to deny the concurrent use permit for the rezoning of 2020109. Okay. I just want to make sure we were all clear on the vote. Okay. We have the last public hearing for tonight. And the last public hearing is a use permit for 2020108, 1162 Highway 54 East LLC.
The applicant elect,
just a second.
Sorry, ma'am.
That's okay. I'm going to call to order the public hearing. Is there a motion to open the public hearing?
So moved.
Motion made by Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood. We're going to do the same as we did before. 15 minutes for city staff, 15 minutes for the applicant. And then we'll have a 5-minute rebuttal for the applicant. City staff, you're on.
The applicant, 1162 Highway 54 East, is requesting a use permit to allow a truck terminal with 112 parking spaces on 5.99 acres, which is zoned M2 heavy industrial. The parking facility will have 24-hour, 7 days a week security. No long-term storage of the trucks or trailers will be allowed on the lot, and no overnight or sleeping facilities will be provided on the lot. Staff is of the opinion that the proposed use of the land for a truck terminal is compatible with the land uses and zoning in the vicinity of the property. And I would like to also read for the record the definition of a truck terminal. The city ordinance states a truck terminal is a primary use of property where trucks, trailers are permanently stored, maintained, or based. Truck trailers shall have current registration and license plates with decal. The Planning and Zoning Commission reviewed the request on September 1st and recommended approval conditional.
Tonight, staff's recommendation is approval conditional of this use permit request.
Okay, thank you so much, Ms. Peaks. And who is speaking for the applicant tonight?
Mr. Andy Bendegar.
Mr. Bendegar, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Okay, Mr. Bendegar, you have 15 minutes to speak to council. If you don't need that much time, that's fine. And then we'll give you a 5-minute rebuttal after the public speaks in favor of or opposition to. Go ahead, Mr. Bendegar.
Thank you, Ms. Mayor. Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm Andy Bendegar. We are looking to have approved, it's 112 spaces. We are looking for we're also going to do 24-hour security, electronically controlled gates. Entrance is going to have two entrances, one off of Bohannon Road, as well as one off of the future Howe Avenue extension. I own the building next door to it, that in the area that this new property has an L. I own the corner piece on Bohannon and Howe Avenue. Everything around this property is surrounded by two heavy industrial zoning already. I'm in agreement with all the staff recommendations, and I'm here to answer any questions for you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. We'll be back with you in just a second.
Okay.
Madam Clerk, Mr. Parks.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you have anybody on the line who are in favor of?
We have one hand up. I'm going to unmute that person now.
Sure.
You are unmuted.
May I have your name and your address and whether you're speaking in favor of or opposition to?
Yeah, this is Joe Strack. Live in Noonan, Georgia, but I have a business here in Fairburn that adjoins all this. Just wanted to vote, for it. We're actually the contractor building the Howell Avenue extension. That's going to be a three-lane road, so it'll have a turning lane in the middle of it. And he's also going to have another entrance off of Bohannon Road. So, as far as trucks going in and out of the terminal, shouldn't be any problem at all, backing up traffic. And as Andy says, everything around is zone M2. And with all the warehouse traffic, I think this would be a great use for this property.
Okay. Mr. Stack, thank you. Are there any other, anyone else on the line who wants to speak in favor of or opposition to? We have one in favor of, and that was Mr. Stack.
There's nobody else.
I'm sorry. There are no other?
No, ma'am. Not at this time.
Okay. Mr. Bendegar, you have 5 minutes to make some additional comments if you would like to or not.
I'm just here to answer if you have any questions. Otherwise, trucks parking right now, trucks are parking. If you go up and down the Interstate 85, every off-ramp, plenty of trucks that are parked there illegally with, big no parking signs. They're backed up. There's just, with all the warehouses that have been added in the city of Fairburn, there's so little truck parking around. I think this is really going to be an attribute to the city. And I appreciate your vote. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Bendegar. Council members, the floor is open for any questions or comments to either city staff or to Mr. Bendegar.
Yes, Mayor. Councilwoman Portis-Jones.
Councilwoman Portis-Jones.
Yes. Similar questions that I had asked of the previous public hearing. And will there be other amenities on this property, or is it just truck parking?
Is that question for Mr. Benegar?
Yes.
Mr. Benegar, you're asked if there will be any other amenities on this property, or is it just going to be for truck parking?
This is just for truck parking, no overnight sleeping facilities or anything like that. Now, the property next door, we have buildings there now, but there's not going to be any additional buildings or sleeping facilities or anything like that.
What are those buildings?
Those buildings now are shop space that's being utilized by somebody that's leasing it out.
Okay. And the greenery that's being proposed on the schematic, are those buffers?
Yes, ma'am.
And Ms. Peaks, or Mr. Thompson, what are we going to do relative to the traffic on 74, right? Because this is the entrance to that facility, correct? Off 74?
It's going to be off Bohannon Road, and then the Howell Mill Road extension is going to connect 74 through to Bohannon Road. So the
okay, but will it also connect to 74 for interstate access?
Property doesn't connect to 74, but Howell Mill extension does connect through to 74, yes.
Yeah. Yes, okay. Mm-hmm. All right, so Ms. Peaks or Mr. Thompson, what is the proposed traffic alleviation for this? Because now we're adding more and more trucks. On 74 as well as Bohannon Road, but I'm speaking specifically of 74, and then will the trucks go down Oakley Industrial for interstate access?
Howell Avenue Extension will be the main access to 74. Howell Avenue Extension has been built to a truck spec. And it's three lanes wide with a left turn lane, dedicated left turn lane, or what we call a left or right turn lane there. They're going to be making a right turn onto 74 and have direct access to the interstate, so I don't see this being a traffic issue.
But we're only on two lanes on 74, right? I mean, that's my concern, is that now we're adding additional trucks to this two-lane highway that is already overburdened. My question to you is, what are the transportation renovation plans for that as part of the interstate exchange project? Or is that something that we need to have a discussion about to alleviate this additional traffic?
The interchange improvements or a north of that, south of that, so they won't, we don't have any plans associated with the interchange project at that location. But for the Howell Avenue extension, we do have a intersection modification there to accommodate truck traffic there, as well as a stoplight that's gonna be installed there as well at Howell Avenue extension and State Route 74.
Okay, that's good. To accommodate
those movements.
Yes, okay, that's good. All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Council, do you have any other question for Mr. Benegar or city staff?
Councilwoman Davis?
Councilwoman Davis?
Yes. Mr. Benegar, I can appreciate the information as it relates to trucks parking on Interstate 85 for not having a facility to actually park in, but my sole responsibility is for the effect of this on the city of Fairburn. I would like to know, again, the same that I asked of the other, of Mr. Davis, the average number of trucks that will be overnight and the average number of trucks that would be long-term. Like he was saying, 3 to 4 days or probably park there a week, yeah.
Our business model is geared more towards people that are living locally, have a house somewhere close by or an apartment somewhere that they can't leave their truck overnight or they can't take their truck home. So we're looking at monthly rentals per space. So typical day they would come in, get their truck and leave. Depending on, most of them are gone for 2 or 3 days at a time, then come back, get their vehicle and leave their truck. So we're looking at around 50%, less than 50% of the trucks would be moved per day.
Okay. So are you saying people that live around Fairburn, near Fairburn?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. That's where we're gearing our model towards, is a monthly, I should have said long-term, but monthly type spots. So they would pay me by the month to lease a spot. And then they would come and, you know, get their truck. Some of them will be daily that go to work 8 hours or 10 hours a day. But I think the majority of them would be people that would be over the road for 2 or 3 days at a time.
Okay. Well, can you tell me how much this model or this facility will alleviate tractor trailer traffic around the city of Fairburn and through neighborhoods and all that stuff? Will you actually reduce the amount of truck traffic that we already have now?
I don't have the exact numbers on that. I can tell you it's going to reduce the amount of people that are driving around looking for a parking spot.
Well, is that happening in the city of Fairburn or on Interstate 85?
Absolutely. If you go through Fairburn and in the evenings or at night, you can find them parked in the suicide lanes, the turn lanes, the sides of the shoulders of the road. Green Oil is their facilities overran. They have a long waiting list for people looking for parking spots. There's definitely a shortage with all the warehouse space that's there. There's definitely a shortage on parking right now.
Okay. And what about our streets? These trucks cause tremendous harm to our streets. So how will the city of Fairburn benefit from this facility in reference to keeping our streets in a condition that will not tear up our citizens' cars driving on Bohannon or Howe Mill Extension?
Well, Lester mentioned, the streets are being built at DOT specs for, they're made for truck traffic, so I don't anticipate any damage. I mean, if it's built to DOT specs or whatever that is, then I can't go any further than that, I guess.
Okay. My question to Ms. Peaks.
Yes.
How do you see this being a benefit to the city of Fairburn in reference to the warehouses and the trucks that we have over there in that area, the different complaints that we have received from our citizens that live over there, especially during high traffic times. So give me some feedback in reference to those concerns.
I would say one of the main reasons is really to get the trucks off from parking off of the road, which is also a hazard to, an unsafe hazard to regular everyday citizens that drive on Fairburn roads. As Mr. Bendegar stated, that the trucks are parking on ramps, they're parking behind on Renaissance Parkway, behind Quick Trip, anywhere they can park really. And so this facility will give them access and places to park that's a lot safer, and that will make the everyday citizen driving on Fairburn roads a lot safer, because when these trucks park on ramps and other places, it can cause a visibility for residents to be able to get out and get onto the road safely. The Atlanta Region Commission study, truck parking study that they completed in 2018 specifically talked about the lack of parking supply throughout the region and that it's going to get worse in the future. The trucks are already in the city of Fairburn, so I don't think that the facility will actually bring more trucks in. It's actually going to accommodate the trucks that are already present in the city right now. If you look at the documents that I submitted with the staff analysis, the chart that was submitted from Atlanta Regional Commission specifically give you numbers on the actual deficit of parking spaces that's going to be not just now but into the future. And so I think the biggest reason that staff supports this is the issue of trucks parking all up and down 74 in places that they should not park. And we've tried to curtail that activity by putting up signage along Renaissance Parkway. But again, if you come through Fairburn at night, 9 or 10 o'clock at night, you will see trucks parked on Renaissance Parkway behind Quick Trip and other places throughout the city, and in particular on ramps. That's very dangerous.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Council, are there any other questions for city staff or Mr. Benegard before we call for a motion? Okay. May I have a motion to close the public hearing, please?
So moved.
Motion made.
Second, Councilwoman Davis.
Okay, was that motion made by
Councilman Heath?
Councilman Heath, and seconded by Councilwoman Davis. The public hearing is now closed. We will vote the same that we've done in the previous two public hearings. Yay for yes and nay for no. Is there a motion on the floor to approve or deny?
So moved, Councilman Heath.
Your motion is to approve or deny?
Approve.
Okay, motion made by Councilman Heath to approve. Is there a second?
Second, Councilwoman Portis-Jones.
The motion has been seconded by Councilwoman Portis-Jones. The motion was made by Councilman Heath and seconded by Councilwoman Portis-Jones. As I call your name, please vote, please. Councilwoman Hattie Portis-Jones.
Yes.
Councilwoman Davis.
Yes.
Councilman Palin.
Yes.
Councilman Heath.
Yes.
Councilman Whitmore.
Yes.
And Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood.
Yes.
The motion passes 6-0 to approve item number 3, the use permit 2020108, 1162 Highway 54 East LLC.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I don't know about everybody else, but I'm tired.
Amen to that.
So moved.
What do you say we say yes to everything else and move on?
Oh, no. No.
Wow.
My goodness.
Okay. So item number 1, I'm going to have to get with Randy really quick, because item number 1 actually coincides with the first public hearing that was denied 4-2. So, Randy, do I need a motion on the floor just to take this agenda item off, or what?
Yes, ma'am. I mean, in light of the fact that the zoning the application was denied, there'll be no expectation that they'll continue with their request to the Development Authority for bonding and tax payment assistance. I would recommend at this point that this item just be tabled indefinitely.
Okay. All right. Is there a motion on the floor to table?
Mayor, question? Councilwoman Portis-Jones?
Councilwoman Portis-Jones.
Yes, the applicant explicitly stated that the financing was contingent upon them developing the project. So no project, no financing. So we don't need to table indefinite. We need to remove this item from the agenda. It's done.
Attorney Turner, your legal opinion, please.
The effect would be the same. If you'd like to make a motion to remove it from the agenda, that would be the same as tabling it indefinitely. So either motion would work.
Okay. Okay. Let me get a motion on the floor to either table indefinitely or to remove the item from the agenda.
Councilwoman Portis-Jones, I make a motion to remove it from the agenda.
Second.
Okay. Okay, motion made by Councilwoman Portis-Jones to remove item number one from the agenda, and it was seconded by Councilwoman Davis. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? That motion carries 6-0. Item number one has been removed from the agenda. Okay, item number two, planning and zoning. Ms. Peaks.
The applicant, Strack Family LLC, is requesting approval of a final plat for the Strack Lot Number 1 development. The plat has been reviewed by staff and meets the current regulations of the city's ordinances. Staff is asking for approval of the Strack Lot Number 1 final plat.
Are there any questions for Ms. Peaks concerning item number two? No questions. Is there a motion on the floor to approve or deny?
So moved, Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood, to approve.
A motion made by Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood to approve. Is there a second?
Second. Councilwoman Davis.
Seconded by Councilwoman Davis. All those in favor to approve?
Aye.
All those opposed? That motion carries 6-0. Next item, Ms. Peaks.
On February the 15th, 2020, the Atlanta Regional Commission announced the award of a $100,000 grant to the city of Fairburn to fund a major update to the LCI Downtown Master Plan. The request for proposals was advertised on August the 5th, 2020, with the proposal submission deadline of September 1st, 2020. A total of 5 proposals were received. The evaluation committee independently and objectively reviewed the 5 proposals based on the criteria outlined in the RFP. After the completion of the independent evaluations, it was determined that the collaborative firm was the lowest responsive and responsible consultant, with the proposal cost of $115,425. Staff is requesting approval of the LCI Downtown Master Plan contract award with the collaborative firm LLC for the amount of $115,425.
Okay, Council, do you have any questions for Ms. Peaks, or do you have any questions for the collaborative firm before a motion is placed on the floor? Is there a motion to approve? I'm sorry.
I have some questions, Mayor. Yeah.
Okay, Councilwoman Davis?
Yes. Ms. Peaks, in reference to the collaborative firm being selected as the lowest responsive and responsible consultant for the proposal, I wanted to ask a couple of things. Going back to the RFP, it was, let's see. I wanted to ask a question of you in reference to the collaborative firm's project lead person, Michelle Alexander. Do you know how long she has been with the collaborative firm?
No, I don't know when she came on board.
She's on. You can ask her.
Just a second. Councilwoman Davis.
Okay.
I have Mr. Michael Hightower and members of his staff are also on the line.
Okay.
So let me pose this question instead of to Ms. Peaks, to Mr. Hightower.
Sure. I didn't know that.
Yes. Madam Mayor, good evening. Ms. Alexander has been with the firm since June of last year, June of 2019.
Okay. Thank you. Going back to Ms. Peaks.
Yes.
I noticed with the other, in reference to the RFP being very particular in reference to knowledge and consistency and everything in reference to doing projects, I noticed that a couple of the other respondents to this RFP, like the collaborative out of Boston, their project lead has been there for like 3 years. In reference to Pond and Company, their project lead has been there like 7 years. So that is one of the things that I wanted to bring about in reference to the project leads and all the responders to this particular project. I also want to ask Ms. Peaks in reference to the collaborative firm and the different contracts they have had with the city of Fairburn, particularly the 2018 economic and development, as well as the planning and zoning rewrite. Could you give me an idea of how you would rate the collaborative firm in reference to those contracts that were made, that's maybe about 2 years old?
I didn't really, the economic development strategic plan, they had an economic development consultant that worked directly with the city. So far as I know, everything went well. Al Lane, I think, was the lead on that particular project. And as far as I know, everything went well. I don't have any, negative comments. I think the document turned out to be a good document that we're actually using right now. So I guess that's the best I can give on that as far as my experience working with that particular project. I didn't have any issues whatsoever with that. I think it was done professionally. The product was really, really good. And again, we're using it right now to push for economic development strategies.
Okay. But in 2018, did we not go through about three or four economic development consultants that was coming from the collaborative firm?
Yes, but I thought you was referencing the actual economic development document, the strategy, not necessarily the staffing.
The staffing, because we're dealing with project leads. We're dealing with project leads. The company can be a very great company, have the best intentions, provide the greatest, the best proposal, but what is going to be very key to the success of this major project is consistency with staff and project leads. That's why I'm bringing that up in addition to the planning and zoning rewrite. Initially, we had some concerns with that project until toward the end when we had a meeting and another person, consultant, was put in place, which did a fabulous job for the collaborative firm in reference to our zoning rewrite. So I'm bringing all this up in reference to consistency and with consultants coming from these different firms. So that is a little concern for me. I believe in second chances, you know, because we all have missteps. I've been a business owner, so I know how that is. But second chances, this is a major project. So that's why I'm bringing up this situation, because past performances make the difference, you know?
I mean, so, if I could just be brutally honest, I think what you're referencing is actually two different projects and two different things. The collaborative firm will work with us on actually developing an update and a major update to our LCI master plan. So it'll be staff that will be working with the collaborative firm, with our staff. And I think you're referencing staff that was with the collaborative firm that was full-time staff, not necessarily full-time, but was on a consultant basis, coming into the office every day doing actual particular work. And I think it's some level of a difference. I think the staff that was presented in the proposal that was presented to the review committee to review, they had the credentials, they had the experience and the background, and staff, the review committee independently reviewed it and scored it accordingly. So I don't know how else to answer that question.
Well, no, I'm just bringing out some concerns. I'm bringing out some concerns in reference to consistency. Okay, the other thing I want to ask in reference to, I noted with all the bidders, some with reimbursable expenses. I think the major thing that you look for, a couple of things that we look for, is the performance. Can they do the work and the experience? And also we look for the best bidder. I mean, we can get the biggest bang for our buck. However, looking at the agreement for professional services, there is under the compensation section, number 3, it talks about being invoiced monthly, and the city will pay within 30 days. Also, you have a B portion to 3, which talks about reimbursables and hourly expenses. Now, of the 5 that submitted bids, there were only collaborative firm did not identify reimbursables. And their total cost without reimbursables was $115,425. The others either notated an amount of reimbursables that included their total cost, or they notated that there may be additional rates may increase depending on anticipated performance period from year to year. And also it could be an escalation that may occur. The other two actually put in, well, one of them said their reimbursables have been included in their total fee, Sizemore. And collaborative also provided an additional $12,500 into their total costs, which would have been reimbursables. So my point is, a collaborative firm was the lowest bidder, but will there be a cap on reimbursables? Because if a reimbursables comes out to be 10,000, then that total cost will increase by 10,000, which would be 125,000. So that's my concern about the reimbursables. So either Mr. Hightower can talk to that, or Ms. Peaks, you can talk to that.
I think
Mr. Hightower
question.
I'll be happy to address that, Ms. Peaks and Ms. Davis. Plus, this would be a good chance to kind of correct some of the misstatements that were made by Councilmember Davis. And let me also say, Mayor and Council, before I go down this track, I want to do a few corrections, and also I want to say to the Mayor and Council a few things about some things that were said, and the City Attorney is on the line, and hopefully the City Attorney can certainly advise Ms. Davis that any disparaging comments that are made by her that are not accurate. That certainly, I certainly don't want to go down that track. But I want to let me just say that, Ms. Davis, clearly, we don't need a second chance. We did a great job on our first chances. The zoning ordinance and the comp plans that we've done by the they've been done by the firm have been done successfully, and they have been used by the city. So we don't need us. I don't need your second chance. On our first chance, we do our work the right way. Let me say that. And secondly, you mentioned some things about the economic development process. Your former city manager, of course, got involved with those processes, and directly interfered with how we're working on those processes. And you, at one point in time, and I would also say, and I want to go down this track, but you and the former city manager who left the city, and yourself at times got involved in certain meetings. The city manager was responsible and is responsible for carrying out the city's work. And no other council member got involved to try to micromanage and interfere with our working on that other than yourself. So ethically, I want to just first of all say, Madam Mayor, that rather than going down this track, I think Ms. Davis needs to be a little careful because she's making some statements that are unfounded. And as the staff has already said and recommended, that we have done a successful job on those projects. So again, I want to just say that. Secondly, I want to just update one item. Ms. Alexander, although she had been full time for the past since June of 19, she worked with the firm in prior events in the past, and we've had a long time working relationship. So for the record, number one, don't need a second chance. Include a record, Ms. Davis. I would certainly want to ask you for an apology for what you said on the record that's incorrect. And thirdly, I would also say, according to the Code of Ethics and GMA, and I have a copy of the GMA booklet right here, I want to just say that talks about ethics in terms of interfering with city management, which you have done in our past work, and the city manager who has been terminated by the city or had to resign. So I want to just say that in terms of ethically, and hopefully we can have a move forward. But I know you're a young member of city council, and you want to get involved, but please make sure that you speak accurately when you speak of things. Our work stands for itself. As a matter of fact, Mayor and Council, I was thinking earlier today about the successful work that we have done in LCIs. Some examples are the City of Riverdale. We were the only African American firm that's prime in LCI in this region, and which led to that new City Hall. We also put together a team with some other consulting firms and led the City of East Point to downtown, which led to the City Hall finally being built. We also involved in the Vine City LCI in Atlanta before the Mercedes was built. As to how that process was done. We're also one of the lead consultants with the Tyler Perry LCI, which is really the Fort McPherson LCI down the street on 29, which led to that process being changed. We had a very successful project along teaming with another firm there. And I can go on and on and on, Fort McPherson, Hampton, East Point, College Park, which is now having seeing that airport city. So our firm has had a variety of LCIs perform. And finally, Madam Mayor, members of council, I find it very stark when Ms. Davis proposes many times to talk about money. We have come in with the lowest fee and a cap cost. Ms. Davis, read your document. There's no mystery of money cutting on top of the 115. We're the lowest bidder. You talk about cost, but you double talk. So I would just say, Madam Mayor and council, our work speaks for itself. Our cost speaks for itself. And if there's some personal agenda, I would say, please put that aside and do what's best for the city. I would conclude by answering any other questions. And I would just ask, Madam Mayor, that in the past, like I said, we've done successful work with the exception of the former city manager, and sometimes Ms. Davis, single-handedly going in meetings and trying to micromanage with the old city manager, which interfered with our working on those projects that she talked about. So in conclusion, I appreciate y'all's consideration. And so hopefully these things will clarify. We do first chance work, and we are very proud of it. Thank you.
Mayor, I would like to speak to some of the stuff that Mr. Hightower has stated in reference to me personally. In reference to me working on the different contracts from the collaborative firm, it was Mayor Hurst who asked me to participate and look over some of those contracts because of my business experience. So I don't force myself into anything, and I certainly do not micromanage. The other point is, Mr. Hightower, I don't know if you responded to the reimbursables. They were not identified in your bid. So are you saying, and correct me, I'm sure you will, if I'm not correct, that your bid will be the $115,425 with no reimbursables. Is that correct?
Ms. Davis, let me just be say very clearly, my bid speaks for itself, and the price is what's on the agenda and not exceed that.
Okay.
So if you read what's on the agenda, is in the package, it speaks for itself. And I appreciate you not harassing our firm. I've never had to, Madam Mayor, in conclusion.
Madam Mayor, Mr. City Attorney, let me interject here for a second, because this has gone one-sided, and I don't want this in one of our council meetings. So, Mr. City Attorney, let me have you to say a few words, give us some advice here, and then I'm going to call for the vote, okay? I think we're at that point right now.
I think there's a couple of things I'd like to say at this point. One of them is that the proposal submitted by the collaborative firm did not mention any reimbursables, so we would have to assume, I think, based on that proposal, that they will not be asking for reimbursable expenses. And also point out in the contract itself that any reimbursables that a consultant were to come back and ask for would have to be approved in advance by the city. The second thing I want to, all due respect to Mr. Hightower, I think that all of Ms. Davis's comments have been within her discretion as a member of the legislative body to discuss this item, and I would just ask that you, in conversation, you should direct your comments to the body as a whole, and just recognize that Ms. Davis, as any member of this council, has the right to question and to raise discussions about any matter in front of the council, and I think that her comments have all been within the bounds of what her responsibilities are as a member of that body. Thank you.
Thank you, Attorney Turner. To members of council, does anyone have any other questions for Ms. Peaks or to the collaborative firm on item number 3?
Yeah, this is Pat. I want to say this, okay? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. And Michael, hi, how are you, buddy? We go back a million years, okay? My only take on this is Sizemore started this for us, and I'd like to see them finish it for us. It would be a seamless transition, okay? That's my comment and on all of this, so.
Okay, are there any other comments or questions for our city staff or to Mr. Hightower?
I have a question, Mayor.
Mr. Whitmore.
And my question is to staff. Looking at the proposal evaluation form and the committee, it would appear that you had, what, 1, 2, 3, 4 individuals that looked over the proposals submitted by all 5 firms. Is that correct?
Yes.
And it's also, this was done independently. This was not done in a collaborative way where you guys were in a group. Is that also correct?
Correct.
And the scoring that I see here on this spreadsheet, does that reflect accurately which each and every member recommended on their score sheets?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yes, every person represented on the review committee reviewed their proposals independently and subjectively with the criteria that was provided to them. The responses came back to me, and I tabulated those responses independently and presented the document that you actually now see on your screen. And Mr. Hightower, the collaborative firm, scored the highest.
Thank you, ma'am. So, Mayor, in light of that, in looking at how staff has performed their duties, and we have great staff, we hear it time and time again when council has their comments at the end of each council session, how great our staff is, how diligent they are, and how they dot their I's and they cross their T's. Now, we put this particular item off last council meeting because there's some additional information that was asked for. And I started digging into the process of how these individuals performed their duties and came up and tabulated these scores. And based on these scores, Mayor, I'm in agreement with you. We need to call for the vote.
Okay.
Councilman Heath? Yes, ma'am. I'm making a motion to call for the vote.
Okay. There's a motion on the floor to call for a vote. Is there a second?
Second.
Oh, the question. For Mayor and Council to approve the LCI Downtown Master Plan contract award with collaborative firm in the amount of $115,425. I'm going to call each council member to vote.
Mayor,
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, Mayor. There was a motion to approve.
There was a motion made by Mr. Whitmore and seconded by Councilman Heath, and we're calling for the vote.
My apologies.
Yes. So I'm calling the members of council now for the individual votes. Okay. Councilman Pat Pallon.
Nay.
No. Councilman Heath.
Yes.
Councilman Whitmore.
Yes.
Councilwoman Davis.
Nay.
No.
No.
Councilwoman Hattie Portis Jones.
No.
Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood.
Yes.
The vote is 3-3. I break the tie in favor of the collaborative firm. So the vote is 4-2-3. It passes.
Thank you, Madam Mayor and members of the council.
You're very welcome. Next item on the agenda is under engineering, Mr. Lester Thompson. Mr. Thompson, you have the floor. Next item, number 4.
He's muted, man. We're going to unmute him now. We had to find him.
Okay.
We just located him. Lester, please unmute. You're muted.
Good evening, Mayor and Council.
Good evening.
The purpose of this agenda item is for Mayor and Council to approve a resolution to adopt the South Fulton County Transportation Plan update and the associated executive summary and executive summary appendix documents that are considered the final products of the CTP.
Yeah.
The CTP update has been underway since February of 2019. The study area includes the 8 cities in Southern Fulton County. Following the inventory of existing conditions, the assessments of project needs, and extensive public outreach, a list of potential projects have been developed. The project recommendations for the city of Fairmont, as well as the rest of the CTP study area, are categorized by ARC project type and were included in the presentation at the September 28th City Council meeting. Facts and issues, the final CTP must be adopted by at least 5 of the 8 cities in order to be considered an adopted plan by ARC to apply for federal funding as part of the ARC's regional transportation plan and the TIP, project solicitation process. Projects must be included in the South Fulton CTP adopted plan. Also, if a project arises after the CTP is adopted in 2020, the CTP can be amended by the cities to reflect new projects. As such, staff recommends that Mayor and Council approve the resolution to adopt the South Fulton Comprehensive Transportation Plan.
Okay, Mr. Thompson, is Ms. Kelly Kemp on the phone tonight?
I'm here.
Yes, she is.
Okay. You just want to give us a quick update before we go for a vote?
Sure. So if approved, you guys will be the 6th city to adopt the plan. We have two more forthcoming in the coming weeks, completing the eight. So five have officially adopted so far, which makes it an official adopted plan. And as Lester mentioned, you, in order to be able to apply for federal funding with ARC for projects in the future, you do have to have adopted the plan, and the project needs to be in the plan. But just as a friendly reminder, if you come up with a project later, you can amend the plan and add it. So the adopting the plan provides you the flexibility to request additional funding, but it does not bound you to the projects in there.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Kemp. Council, do you have any questions for Mr. Thompson or Kelly Kemp? Okay, Council, I would need a resolution to approve the resolution to adopt the South Fulton Comprehensive County Comprehensive Transportation Plan. Is there a motion on the floor?
So moved, Councilwoman Portis Jones.
Motion made by Councilwoman Portis Jones to approve. Is there a second?
Councilwoman Davis, second.
Councilwoman Davis made the second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? It passes 6-0. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So we're number seven. Mr. Thompson, the next item, number five.
Yes, ma'am. The purpose of this agenda item is to approve task order number 10 with Ponding Company for professional engineering and landscape architectural services. The city entered into a master services agreement with Ponding Company on July 22nd, 2019. The agreement with Pond was approved with the understanding that task orders associated with professional engineering and landscape architectural services would be issued on an as-needed basis. As such, task order 10 for said services has been submitted for review and approval. Staff recommends that City Council approve task order number 10 with Ponding Company for professional engineering and landscape architectural services and authorize the mayor to sign the task order for amount not to exceed $25,000.
Okay. Any questions? Council, any questions for Mr. Thompson concerning this task order number 10 to Ponding Company?
I just have one question, Councilwoman Portis Jones.
Yes,
Mrs. Thompson. Could you remind me, is this what type of storage tank is this that we're removing?
That's the next one. This one is just for the task order for professional engineering and landscape architectural services.
To do the assessment.
No, this is for community development assistance. Assisting with plan review for, we don't have an onboard landscape architect.
I'm sorry. Yes, confusing. Yes, yeah. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Are there any other questions for Mr. Thompson? Is there a motion on the floor to approve task order number 10 to Pun and Company in the amount of $25,000?
So moved.
Looks like that motion was made by Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood. Is there a second?
Second, Whitmore.
Seconded by Councilman James Whitmore. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? That motion carries 6-0. Item number six, engineering, Mr. Thompson.
All right, now this one is for the to approve a change order with EnviroRisk Consultants to remove the underground storage tanks from the downtown LCI streetscape project for an amount of $1,200. The proposal with EnviroRisk to remove the underground storage tanks was previously approved at the September 14th City Council meeting for $17,100. After they completed the ground penetrating radar, it was discovered that the tanks appear to be larger than the 500 gallons as they previously thought, and they extend beneath at least one lane of Broad Street. As such, the consultant revised their proposal to capture the additional costs associated with draining the larger tanks, the removal of the larger tanks from the roadway, and the use of security plates and other health and safety measures related to this process. In order to have this work completed and revised, and at the revised price, a change order will be required. As such, staff recommends Mayor and Council approve change order from EnviroRisk Consultants for $1,200. Any questions?
Yes, Mayor. So I was just asking clarification on the type of tank. I mean, what was the item that was stored in? Was it gasoline, oil?
We think it's, based on our knowledge, we think it's underground storage tanks for gas. We think it was previously a gas station located at that location. That roadway was a two-lane roadway. It was subsequently widened by GDOT, and they buried the tanks when they widened the road. So we think it's underground storage tanks, gas tanks.
Okay.
Councilman Heath?
Yes, sir.
Yes, that used to be Copeland's Shell Station back in the day, and then when they widened the road, they took in that service station. But he'd been in business for quite some time.
And Mr. Thompson, could you just state for the record, what did EPD, what is their assessment of the impact of moving this? I mean, are we disturbing anything? And will it have any impact on the surrounding environment or any airborne issues?
No airborne issues, but once we remove the tanks, we are going to test the soil to see if anything was leached into the ground. If it is determined that anything was leached into the ground, then additional removal would be required to remove the unsuitable soil. But that won't be determined until after the tanks are removed and disposed of in accordance with EPD standards.
Okay, thank you very much.
No problem. Mm-hmm.
And could you let us know as soon as possible if something is discovered?
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Will do.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other questions to Mr. Thompson concerning the change order with EnviroRisk Consultants in the amount of $1,200? May I have a motion on the floor to approve?
Councilwoman Davis, so moved.
Motion made by Councilwoman Davis. Is there a second?
Second, Councilwoman Portis-Jones.
Seconded by Councilwoman Portis-Jones. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? That motion carries 6-0. The next item on the agenda is also Mr. Thompson.
All right. The purpose of this agenda item is to approve change order number 2 with Precision 2000 to assist in the removal of the underground storage tanks. After completing the ground penetration radar, it was discovered that the tanks extended beneath the roadway. As such, we requested a proposal from the roadway contractor for the downtown LCI streetscape project, which is Precision 2000, to provide the necessary traffic control to remove the tanks and to restore the roadway per GDOT standards and specifications upon completion. In order for the removal of the UST to be completed in a safe manner and the roadway to be restored per GDOT standards and specifications, a change order will be required. As such, staff recommends that Mayor and Council approve change order number 2 for Precision 2000 for $17,563.95. Any questions?
What's the source of funding, Councilwoman Portis-Jones? What's the source of funding?
The source of funding will have to be from the LCI implementation grant.
Okay, so was that originally budgeted, or are you going to have to not do something else as a result of this?
We have enough money up front right now. We have over, I think, about $5 million in that. I can tell.
5.1.
Yeah.
5.1 to be exact.
Yes. Okay. Oh, 5.1. Thank you. In that account. So if any adjustments need to be done, we can do that mid-year.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Any other questions for Mr. Thompson? Is there a motion on the floor to approve change order number 2 with Precision 2000 in the amount of $17,563.95?
Heath, so moved.
Motion made by Councilman Heath to approve. Is there a second?
Second. Second, Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood.
Seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? That motion carries 6-0. Thank you so much, Mr. Thompson.
Thank you.
The next item is with our fire department, Chief Cornelius Robinson, for Mayor and Council to approve the purchase of 25 self-contained breathing apparatus in the amount of $182,000. Chief Robinson.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Council.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
The fire department is asking Mayor and Council to approve 25 self-contained breathing apparatus, 50 snap chain cylinders, and 25 face masks from an AFG grant we received. The fire department has been approved for federal funding in the amount of $173,333. And as a condition of the grant, we are required to contribute $8,667 of non-federal funds for a total of $182,000. It's recommended by the fire department that Mayor and Council approve this purchase for the 25 self-contained breathing apparatus.
So moved.
Hey, Council, do you have any questions for Chief Robinson?
Councilman Heath.
Yes, sir.
Was this budgeted in your budget?
For the matching funds?
For the $182,000?
This is part of the AFG grant. They're going to fund us the...
Oh, the grant, okay.
Yeah.
Misread that.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Is that Councilwoman Davis, did you have a question?
Oh, no, Mayor.
Okay. Is there anyone else who has a question for Chief Robinson? Okay. Is there a motion on the floor to approve the purchase of the 25 self-contained breathing apparatus in the amount of
$182,000? So moved, Councilwoman Davis.
Wow.
Okay. The motion is made by Councilwoman Davis and seconded by
Portis Jones.
Okay, let me go back.
That's okay. It doesn't matter.
The motion is made by Councilwoman Portis Jones, seconded by Councilwoman Davis.
That's great. That's fine.
Okay. Motion made by Councilwoman Portis Jones and seconded by Councilwoman Davis. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? That motion carries 6-0. Chief Robinson, you have one more.
All right. Thank you, Mayor. The next item is to approve the purchase of 10 sets of Globe bunker gear. This is the second phase of our gear replacement that we've been working on from last budget year up until now. And the fire department is requesting Mayor and Council to approve the purchase of 10 sets of gear from Globe bunker gear for the amount of
$25,870.
This will come out of our budgeted line item for in uniforms and clothing.
Okay. Council, do you have any questions for Chief Robinson? Is there a motion on the floor to approve the 10 sets of bunker gear in the amount of $25,870?
Whitmore.
Motion made by Councilman Whitmore and seconded?
Councilman Heath.
By Councilman Heath. Motion made by Councilman Whitmore and seconded by Councilman Heath. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? That motion carries 6-0. The next item is with our city attorney, Attorney Randy Turner.
Good evening again, Mayor. This item is an IGA between the City of Fairburn and Fulton County School District. Fulton County School District has performed some construction improvements at the Campbell Elementary School site. In connection with that, they did prepared a desal lane. And they are, by this IGA, transferring over to us additional right-of-way created it is 0.186 acres of land of right-of-way to be transferred to the city.
Okay. Any questions to Attorney Turner concerning this IGA with Fulton County Schools for this 1.86 right-of-way at Campbell Elementary? Is there a motion to approve the IGA with Fulton County Schools?
Councilwoman Davis, so moved.
Motion made by Councilwoman Davis, and is there a second?
Second, Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood.
Seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood. All those in favor?
Aye.
That motion carries 6-0 for the approval of the IGA. The last item on the agenda tonight is also from our city attorney, which is a resolution.
Yes, Mayor, this resolution, and we'll end on a hopefully tonight on a happy note. I have been working closely with the Fulton County Land Agent and with the Fulton County Attorney's Office to get documents prepared to make a final transfer of the old Campbell County Historic Courthouse building to the city of Fairburn. The resolution that is before you tonight is a resolution to accept the deed of conveyance and to authorize that we take additional steps. I will take additional steps to ensure that the conveyance documents are duly executed and then recorded at Fulton County. So this is the culmination of the work that I've been doing with the land agent at Fulton County and the county attorney's office to make this a reality.
Okay. It's been a long time.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, it has. Council, do you have any questions for Attorney Turner concerning this resolution to accept its quick claim deed for the old Campbell County Historic Courthouse? Okay, is there a motion on the floor to approve the resolution to accept this quick claim?
So moved, Councilwoman Portis Jones.
Motion made by Councilwoman Portis Jones. Is there a second?
Councilwoman Davis.
Okay, motion made by Councilwoman Portis Jones and seconded by Councilwoman Davis. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? That motion carries 6-0.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Before I get to council comments, there's not going to be an executive session tonight.
Amen. Thank you.
We had previously was going to do one on personnel and litigation, but we're going to come to you at the next meeting because we'll have some additional information to bring you on these particular items. And we want to be up to date when we talk about it. So with that being said, let's start with our council comments for tonight. And tonight we'll start with our Councilman Alex Heath.
No comment.
Okay. Councilman Palin.
No comments.
Councilwoman Linda Davis.
No comment, Mayor.
Okay. Councilwoman Hattie Portis Jones.
No comment.
Okay. Councilman James Whitmore.
No comment.
Okay. And my Mayor Pro Tem, Ulysses Smallwood.
No comment, Mayor.
Okay. And as your mayor, I have no comments tonight. It is 10:12. It's time for us to go home. Can I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved, Councilwoman Davis.
Motion made by Councilwoman Davis. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Councilman Heath. All those in favor?
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Okay. It passes. Let's go home. Everybody have a safe week.
For anybody wondering, the Braves and the Dodgers are tied 1-1.
Okay.
All right then.
Okay. Thank you. Have a good night, everyone.
Good night.
Bye.